You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who will never make you cut off any fingers. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. It's our feedback show. This is our weekly chance to answer your questions, have a little bit more fun with the episode, listen to all of the wild moments from the episode, and of course, the Survivor social media here on the Feedback Show. And we are so fortunate to have here with us today a great guest to kick off the Feedback Show season. Please welcome my co-host on the Nothing But Netflix podcast, my podcast mentor. Here he is, Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm speechless. When did I become the podcast mentor? I am
2 years
such a mentee.
Ago. Yeah.
2 years ago?
Yes.
I'm more like a podcast life coach, you know? Like
podcast I'm here life coach, to, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say mentor. No, Rob, please. I'm very happy Chappelle, to always get a chance to talk to you whenever
you
I can.
You did for Rob Has a Podcast what Russell Hance did for Survivor in Survivor Samoa. You came in, you played a chaotic energy, changed the direction of the entire podcast.
And then have continuously lost, you know, like at every turn. Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like me. Actually, thank you, Rob.
You both. Yeah. And we're here to kick off the Feedback Show season. You did it in season 41. We talked about Survivor Guy.
We made the best of the year. And I think Survivor Guy is back, Rob. Did you peep that?
I did. We'll talk about that. Chappelle. How are you feeling?
I'm good. A little tired. It's early morning here in the great state of Texas.
How are you feeling?
Wow. That is a good question. I don't know, Rob. I don't think I'm able to answer that. I'm happy. What are you talking about? I'm always happy.
Zach said that is the magic question that somebody asks you on Survivor, that how are you feeling is code.
Oh, yeah. That's like, do you want to be in an alliance, right? Mm-hmm.
That's like, you up? Yeah. It means a different thing.
See, but you up is outdated. Like, and then you like, it's now evolved. Like, I'm an eyeball emoji type person. Like, I send the eyeball emojis. I'm like, hey, you up? That's kind of like my coded you up. But now I have to start texting people like, how you feeling? Yeah. Like, that's the new move.
I guess if you're on Survivor and you want to make an alliance with them.
I mean, I thought you meant just in general. Like, that should be my new, like, opening line.
I think
line.
You got to be careful with that in the real world, because you might not be ready for the wall of text that comes back if you start texting people, how are you feeling?
Oh, dear God. The way I would fall apart if you sent me, like, the actual answer to that question. How you feeling? And they're like, well, I'm actually very distraught. I'm like, oh, God. Like, just kill. Like, take my phone. Throw it into the ocean. It's fine. Yeah. I think we learned something new from Zach. Also, maybe he should have asked more people how they were feeling, because then maybe we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now. But he seemed to notice that there were moments where people were trying to align with him. So
yeah,
I'm happy for Zach and his experience.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited to talk about everything Survivor here with you today. We have had a great week of podcasts already. The Know-It-Alls. I had my interview with Zach, which you can watch on YouTube, which is for the podcast listeners. This is a new thing here in season 42.
all that stuff, including my interview here with Chappelle. We try to do as many of these podcasts as we can on video. You can check that out at robitsawebsite.com/YouTube. And of course, all of the other great Survivor podcasts in our Survivor podcast feed are available when you subscribe to robitsawebsite.com/Survivor feed. And we appreciate your feedback and your star ratings at the start of the season. You know, you have unlimited stars.
Just give us 5 all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't hurt.
This is not a prisoner's dilemma. You don't have to, should I risk my stars or protect my stars? You can just risk them all and then you have unlimited stars.
Right. And you won't lose any sleep about it. Like tomorrow, you're not thinking, gosh, I gave them 5, but I really could have used that 4th, you know, that other star. And like, no.
I think just you can go stars, back in and change it after.
No. I mean, unless you can move it up.
Yeah.
So like if you've already done stars and you've given 1 or 2 stars, like you can go in and add additional stars. But no, you by no means can you remove stars. Like, don't even try it. Just trust us. Yeah.
Just go to robitsawebsite.com/survivorfeed, and then you can click on the Apple Podcast link to give us feedback and star ratings there. And then, you know, we get some good ones. We'll read them on the podcast.
I like that. Yeah. Give us some good, some good feedback, some positive feedback, some good energy. And I'll be happy to, like, you know, read them out loud. Just tell me what to do to Rob. I got you.
Tell me what to do to Rob.
No, tell me what to do, Rob, Rob.
Oh.
And I got you. Now listen, if y'all have feedback and it's like, hey, like, this is what you should do to Rob, then, you know, just DM that to me. We'll talk about that off air.
Chappelle, on Sunday night, we got together for our big Survivor draft, second season running that we did that. Had a lot of fun going through all of that. A couple of notable events from the draft.
Yeah.
I believe it was pick number 10.
Yeah.
Your second pick. Mm-hmm. It was, some say, the highlight of the draft when Shannon Gus had 9 people in her top 10 already drafted. Mm-hmm. And you were the one person ahead of her with the possibility to stop her from getting the 10th person on her list of 10 players to get. And you selected Zach Wurtenberger, the Ika tribe member who was voted out this week. Now, it was a highlight of the draft where you sniped him from Shannon Gus, which was the high point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those moments where the meme was right there. Like, I had to do it. Candidly, I would not have picked Zach in that spot. I told Shannon afterwards who I would have picked. She ends up picking. I believe it's Lydia. But for the sake of the meme, I had to do it because Shannon was like, it's statistically improbable that you could get this last one. And I'm like, is it, considering this person literally said your name on the podcast? Like, I'm pretty sure I could figure this one out. So yes, for the moment, for the meme, for the video, I did what needed to be done. Now, Zach, you bet a Wurtenberger became the grenade, much to my chagrin, but I'm fine because the meme lives on, you know?
Mm-hmm. And have you heard from Shannon since Wednesday?
No, because don't get me wrong, we've seen some tweets, you know, Shannon has very much basically weighed in on whether or not I should be counted as the grenade because Zach, you bet a Wurtenberger has not.
Yeah. And just in case people didn't watch the draft, we had a rule that we started last season of, if your team, there were 6 people in the draft, everybody had 3 people, but if you drafted the person who was the first boot, that was a grenade that disqualified your whole team unless the other 2 members get to the final 3, even if you have the eventual winner on your team.
Right. And so Zach was the grenade. And there was question because Zach was not the first person eliminated from Survivor. Right. The first person voted out. But as we know, Jackson had to leave, was basically medevaced, essentially, from the game. And so there was question of, does Asia have the grenade because of Jeff's verbiage when he said that Zach was the second person voted out.
Right.
Exactly. But I am willing to accept my punishment as the grenade because I did it for the meme. It was, you know, it was all in on the moment. Shannon said, you're probably not going to get the 10th person, you know, the person on my list. And I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, call my bluff. And so I did it.
You were drafting for all stars, right?
I was drafting for all stars. You go big or you go home. And I did both those things.
Yes. Like, you did.
Yeah.
You did. Okay, we got a question from definitely not Chappelle. So to be clear, Chappelle didn't get the grenade, right?
I think I got the grenade. Like, I really do. Like, like, if the alternative is that Asia has the grenade, then I will happily dive on the grenade. I take it. It's mine. I did it, and I stand by what I did. If I had the opportunity to do it again, I would definitely let Shannon just get the grenade.
So let me just ask a question. So definitely not Chappelle is somebody who is just sending in questions as you? Are you being catfished?
Well, it's Ed Rob. It says not Chappelle.
Like, definitely not Chappelle, right.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not me. It's definitely not me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So why would you think it was me? It says definitely not Chappelle.
Okay. So, all right. So who are the other people on your draft team?
I drafted first Marianne.
Yeah.
And I drafted Mike as well.
Marianne and Mike. And okay.
At the beginning of the episode, I felt really good because when they went to the Matt chat, the initial, like, you know, welcome to season 42, the monster's coming. Let's get some words from each of the tribes. They hit all of my draft picks. I was like, this is good. All of them are getting highlighted in this moment. I was sadly mistaken. This was not good. Okay. So I'm hoping Marianne and Mike are long for this world.
I know you love Marianne. Big fan favorite to start off the season. How are you feeling about Marianne after night one?
What else could you ask for here? I mean, like I said, I picked her because her personality and, like, it's just her joy is infectious. I am a person who enjoys joy. And so, this just felt like a no-brainer. I don't know how to feel, though, about Marianne long-term in the game because we really didn't see a lot of strategic talk. I mean, there was just, like, some questioning, you know, should I get on the boat? Should I not? But one thing that does stand out is her energy. You know, like, she's very, like, very, very happy. But then there are moments like when Jackson got voted out where she's very, very sad. And I remember watching her reaction to Jackson getting voted out and thinking, like, oh my gosh, if that's how Marianne looks when she's sad, I'd never vote her out. Like, I would never want to be in a position to make this woman cry like that. Are you kidding me? Like, so I don't see how you can blindside somebody like that. Like, you kind of have to.
That's a good point.
Like, how do you vote that person out knowing that, like, you're going to break their heart and or at least and they're going to wear it all over their face? I would be terrified to vote out Marianne. Like, you got to get her before the merge.
I feel like that Marianne story ends with it's like a tribal council where everybody's just talking about how, like, how could we let her go any further? She's so great. Yeah. Like, we're sorry. There's nothing that we can do.
It's the Elaine problem, right? Where Elaine's like, well, what do you want from me? And they're like, nothing. It's time for you to go, you know? So maybe Marianne is going to find a few idols or win a few challenges. But that happens season after season where all the people kind of look at each other and just say, it's you. And there's nothing this person can do about it. And so I can see that coming. But I'm going to be optimistic and say, we're going to have a good time while we get there. I was pleasantly surprised by Mike, though.
Can I ask just one other thing on Marianne before we move on to Mike? Marianne was asked by Jeff about, you know, what is it like for you to be out here? You're so excited. Woman in the front. Tell me about what it's like. And she talked about how that people didn't think she could get on Survivor.
You dream about this, you know? You dream about, like, going on Survivor. Then you're like, and all your friends are like, Marianne, you're not going to make it on Survivor. Like, so many people.
Does Marianne need new friends, Chappelle?
Yeah, of course. Like,
why were her friends such haters of that? If you were friends with Marianne and she told you, I want to be on Survivor, why wouldn't you say, oh, yeah, I think you'd be really good? They would love you. Like, no, not you, Marianne. No one would like you.
I think it's one of those things where Marianne is very enthusiastic about things that she likes. And there's probably the friends that know that they have to be a little bit more grounded than Marianne in certain situations and say, like, Marianne, yes, you could go and be electric television, but also you don't really like to be outside in the bugs and the water and stuff like that. You know, maybe it's one of those things where someone's just kind of like, I hear you, comma, but think about these things, because we see all the time where people's friends tell them you would be great on Survivor. I'm pretty sure Zach Wurtenberger's friends told them that they would be fine. And I'm not saying Zach didn't do his best, but it didn't work out. So I think you have to have the friends that are able to say, hey, this might not be for you, or go, but keep your mind open to the possibility that it doesn't go well. You know, and so
it wasn't even Marianne's friends who she said so many people told her you'll never get on the show. Even her family tried to steer her away from this.
My parents are both originally from Kenya. When I told my mom I was first interested in Survivor, she was like, Marianne, why are you interested in this show?
Yeah. I mean, fair question, though.
100%. Like, you want to do what now? Mm-hmm. I could even imagine, like, my parents are not Kenyan, but like, even as Black African Americans, they would definitely be like, why do you want to go on that show? Like, what about this show appeals to you? And I'd be like, you're out there on an island starving and physically exerting yourself to one day get voted out and not win money and then possibly get ridiculed by social media. So like, oh, okay, that's what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And I was good. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not shocked that her parents were confused. I know mine would just be like, okay, something's wrong with the kids, but it's for certain
why
people.
Why are you
it's
interested in this show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Question Kidney for all Queen. Of us. Yeah. But yeah. You know, Chappelle, that the evolution of Survivor, where that 20 years ago when I played Survivor, you know, not to be come off like an old head, I meant to start off the podcast with you, and I wanted to say that like Rox Roy.
Let's get crack-a-lackin'.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's like Roxbury was like, I'm 45 years old. And he also said, let's get crack-a-lackin'. And those two things are aligned. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. those two things go hand in hand. You didn't have to tell us your age once you say crack-a-lackin'.
But he did say he was the old head in the season. And so I can relate to that from Roxroy. But when I played on Survivor, and you know, some listeners like, wait, you were on Survivor? Yes, it's true.
Yeah, Lydia wasn't alive.
Yeah. And when I did, it was like, this was like, nobody would say to you, hey, you shouldn't do this. Everyone like, oh my God, this is incredible. You have to go do this. It sounds like that there are all these people that you say, I want to be on Survivor now. And everyone's like, no, don't do it. What are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Why are you doing this?
I'm pretty sure some people were told not to do Survivor back then too, and just did not listen.
Some people get told don't do Big Brother Canada and they don't listen.
It happens. They don't respect our opinions. You don't have to do this. You know, just because you want to play Survivor doesn't mean you have to. You can want a lot of things. You just don't necessarily have to have those things. But yeah, it's a different time, Rob. Back then it was like, you go be on Survivor and you're going to be mega famous for a season and a half.
You got to do it.
You got to do it. You can get called back for All Stars. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one day start a podcast network. He's like, if you laid that out for me in 2000, I was like, okay, I'll give it some thought. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, what's the high point? If you win, you get a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's not really that much money anymore. And if you lose, you lost.
Yeah.
And then you always say, well, I could have won. Next time will be better. So you might be onto something, Rob. Maybe Marianne's family's right. Maybe we should start second guessing ourselves on applying for these shows.
Why are you interested in the show? Okay.
Yeah.
You had Mike on your draft team. That was Nicole's winner pick also. Nicole, very high on Mike. How are you feeling about Mike after one episode?
I like Mike. I was afraid that Mike would bring Roxbury energy. So Roxbury is like, I'm an old guy and I'm the parent of the tribe and I'm going to be bossy.
Let's
and I was like,
get crack-a-lackin'.
What are you doing? Let's get crack-a-lackin'. Let's get it popping. Yes, partner. So I think I was very nervous about Mike possibly being that guy like to come in and want to take charge. But I think he's done a really good job of like ingratiating himself. And he said something really funny on Twitter. I want to say it was something to the effect of like, now his kids have to watch him walk around in his underwear. And I thought about that and thought like, dear God, I would just be vomiting. Like if it was my dad, you know, like, or something, or like, people's parents go on Survivor all the time.
Yeah. But
like, that's something that you never want to see, you know, like, even though the man is like ripped, still don't want to see that from your dad.
Yeah. That's a really astute observation because I feel like that, you know, going back to like when we have the family visits on Survivor and Jeff is like, what's it like being the parent? But we almost rarely get to hear from people, what's it like being the child of a survivor, watching your mom or dad on national television?
Right. Like, think way back 20 some years ago, back to the Kathy Vabrick O'Brien days, right? And we love like the relationship with her and her son, but she peed on a guy.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going to school the next day and people are like, your mom peed on that guy. And if you're a good sport about it, that could be great. But also if you're not, it's like, yeah, I don't want to be the guy everybody's talking about, like, mom's pissing on everybody. And so, yeah, I think it could be pretty tough. You know, you go from seeing this person always buttoned up and clothed to seeing them on Survivor half naked. I don't think, but we need to start interviewing the kids. Maybe that's what it is. That's the real after, like, the season's over. Those are the real interviews we need to find out what the kids are saying and how they deal with this ridicule at school, because it has to be coming.
Okay. Chappelle, what was your other big takeaway from the episode?
I mean, everyone's talking about the fake blood, Rob.
Yeah.
How do we not discuss it?
Did you like that?
Did I like the fact that it was an option to have fake blood out there? No. Yes. I just don't understand. Don't.
Well, okay. I feel like you podcast about The Walking Dead. I feel like you like seeing fake blood.
Like is a strong word, Rob. Like, I deal with it for the sake of media. But no, I think it's absurd. You just, like, okay, your goal was to go untie some paddles, but then for some reason, y'all all come back looking like y'all have been attacked by a certain, like, a wild animal. Like, it, at some point, High looked like he's, like, basically just survived the Revenant or whatever. Like, it was just a moment where he was like, why are you covered in blood?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre the other night, Leatherface.
Yeah, check that out on Nothing But Netflix. We definitely talked about that. If you haven't already listened, then check that out. But yeah, the fake blood being there was, it ended up being fun. You know, like, the survivors really got into it. But, and I think it's because their adrenaline's going and they're trying to, like, the game just started. They're moving very quickly. But I want to say, like, if cooler heads had prevailed, you just do a little dab or something of blood on your shoulder or something like that. Like, it ain't got to be covered in it. But it produced the funniest moment of the episode for me. Cause when High gets back, they're like, are you bleeding? And he's like, yes. I'm like, wait, why would you say that? Like, if they don't know it's blood, she'd be like, no, it's paint. And just, like, get in the water. But just to, like, emphatically yell, yes, I'm bleeding. At some point, someone's going to inspect you and try to figure out why you're covered in blood. And you even see Lydia saying, like, no, you're really bleeding. Like, this is, are you okay? Mm-hmm. They never bring in a medic at any point, especially now that I think about it. Daniel's arm is, like, just hanging off, just dangling. And they don't stop it. They don't stop the challenge. They're like, keep the party going. Like,
At the end, we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, but since when? What happened? Like, he mentioned Stephanie LaGrossa, but if you think back to Heroes vs. the Villains,
yeah, they stopped, like, down the challenge, pops out, right?
And they're like, hold on, you know, everybody freeze, let's pop it back in. They let him walk around with his arm hanging out the entire time. Like, that had to be a risk, don't you think? Yeah,
I wonder if that's on Daniel, and maybe this is something they need to, like, say to the survivors of, like, hey, if you are so badly hurt and you can't continue, like, hold it. They're like, hold on, stop the challenge. Like, you know, we've seen Jeff do that before. Where, yeah, you know, they just stop, like, think about Russell Swan, like, there's plenty of them, they stop the challenge. But I think that because Daniel was on his feet and kept going, that they didn't stop down. It was just sort of like that. I mean, Jeff commented on it, but it didn't seem like that Daniel was, like, writhing in pain or anything like that.
Right. But that's the thing. You can't leave this in the hands of the survivors. We've already decided that they make poor decisions by going on the show. And so, like, if this person is willing to put themselves through that kind of grueling pain, they're not going to want you to remove them from the game. I mean, you mentioned Russell Swan, but it's not like Russell Swan said, Jeff, I just don't have it in me. Right. Lord, I don't got it. Like, no, Russell Swan basically died and they saved him. And so, like, they're not going to tell you, I can't compete anymore. Take me out of the game. We see that with Jackson as well. Like, these people are going to make decisions and put Survivor before their health. Mm-hmm. And so I think someone has to be on hand to say, like, hey, Daniel, your arm isn't moving. Are you fine? And even if Daniel says fine, be like, no, we really need to talk about it. You know, like, maybe just stop anyway. It might slow the challenges down and kind of ruin the momentum. But I just feel like that could have been a huge liability. Like, what if it was worse than it, you know, dislocated, you know, at that point? What if he fell on it again?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know. So that was weird, but at least the high money moment was funny.
Yeah. I think that the question would be, like, has that ever happened to Daniel before? That in Heroes vs. Villains, that Stephanie had, like, comments that, like, oh, this has happened before. You just need to pop it back in. That for Daniel, it seemed like that this was the first time that this has happened to him. So, like, I don't think he was, you know, calling attention to it.
Yeah, you could see the fear in his eyes the moment it happened. And Daniel has some kind eyes. I noticed that throughout the episode. I was like, you know, that guy looks really nice. But at the same time, I was like, he is terrified. He's terrified by the pain. And then he looks, if possible, even more afraid when they say, like, oh, we might have to remove you. Like, at that point, you know, he's like, just put it back in. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah.
Right. It might need surgery. And then you see real fear. But no, this, I doubt this has happened to Daniel before. Daniel's a soldier, you know, just based off of like the things that Daniel went through with the leukemia and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you had to know that this was like his worst nightmare. That has to be anybody's worst nightmare, honestly, to be on there like day one, right out the gate, and then and like have people staring at you with the cameras in your face. The lights are getting hot and they're like, oh no, we might have to pull them. Like at that point, you're like, just rip the arm off. Just take the arm. I'll be fine. Swati's giving up pinkies. You know, look at these people. We might need to reevaluate this cast specifically. They're putting their body in harm's way.
They definitely are. And really, you shouldn't.
No, it's not worth it. I mean, trust me. And I say this as a person who could really use that money, but it's still not worth it. Like, you keep your body intact.
Chappelle, I have a question for you from the great Felipe Chamon, who has for you about the fake blood on Survivor and its utility. Here is Felipe.
Rob, Chappelle, what is up? It is me, the Brazilian Dragon, Felipe, aka Rob's biggest fan. And I have two quick questions for you. Number one, what would your excuse be with the fake blood, fake mud? Well, how would you sell that to the tribe? And then number two, and my more important question, how would Miss Mabel Simmons, aka Madea, do on Survivor? And who from the MCU would be the best at Survivor? And why is it Bam? Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye.
Yeah. Chappelle, it sounds like Felipe is asking for a Madea Cinematic Universe Brant Steel.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, in the off season, if it gets that stale, I guess we could do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have enough people. We could probably come up with enough people. But, Rob, you'd have to watch all the stage plays and all the movies before we can do that. I can't. Okay. If you're not going to do the homework, I can't. Okay.
It's on me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But Felipe, that was very funny of a question. First off, this fake blood thing. At some point when Hai yells out, I'm bleeding. Like, you know, like, are you bleeding? Yes. You got to stab yourself. You got to commit to the bit. Like, when you come out of the ocean, you have to have like a wound or else, you know, because he had so much blood on him, Rob. Bite your lip or something, you know, like you got to do something. But I think they were just able to, like, maybe once you get in the ocean, because you kind of wash it off, maybe you come back. Like, I don't know where the blood was coming from. I'm sure it's a very tiny, tiny wound that was just bleeding profusely. But there have been seasons where Dr. Allison probably would have, like, tried to save you, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to have a better lie than just like, yes, I'm bleeding, but why? I don't know. Like, you got to have something. Commit to the bit.
Right. Well, you have Omar on that tribe also, right? Who, my tribe's confused. Yeah. So I'm trying to think if there's a medical, there's a medical professional there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, if Omar is like, oh no, you're a person bleeding. I'm not interested. But if you were an emu, Omar would be right on it.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah. All right. How do you think Madea would have fared on Survivor? Because look, famously, Tyler Perry loves Survivor. So you have to think that, you know, Tyler Perry, he writes up all these scripts. I'm sure that he must have like kicked around in his head, how would Madea do on Survivor?
I'm shocked that Madea hasn't had, you know, like one of those cutaways, you know, where they talk about Madea going on Survivor. We've seen Madea go to Maury. We've seen Madea go on Oprah, Dr. Phil. Madea's everywhere.
As dream sequences,
Yeah, dream sequences, but flashbacks. You know, we see Madea at the bus boycott, you know, telling Rosa Parks to get off the bus. Like, we've seen Madea everywhere. Madea just performed Beyonce's Coachella set, you know. So if Madea can do all that, I'm shocked we haven't seen Madea on The Edge of Extinction or something like that. If there's ever a celebrity Survivor season, you know, where Jeff is involved, I could see Madea coming on as the celebrity.
Yeah.
But let's be very clear. Madea is someone who will, like, you either got to vote her out first, or they're going to win the old game, like, and just win with them, like, and lead the tribe with an iron fist. Everyone's going to be too afraid to vote them out because she will shoot you. And if you're not familiar with why Rob and I are talking about Madea, it's because we covered a Madea homecoming on Nothing But Netflix a week ago, and we got great feedback, Rob.
Great feedback. Yeah. One of the funniest podcasts we've ever done.
Oh yeah. I could not stop laughing. You, myself, and AJ. It was hilarious. But no, at no point would I ever say Madea needs to be anywhere. Actually, keep Tyler Perry far, far away from my Survivor. Like, I never want to hear Tyler Perry's name and Survivor in the same sentence. So after this conversation, we're not talking about it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You mentioned Omar, and he, in the opening of the show, talked about what his life is like as a veterinarian. And I thought it was interesting enough to talk about.
As an exotic animal veterinarian, you never know what you're going to see when you come into work. It might be a tiny canary with a fractured leg or a giant rhino that you have to put your hand up its butt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, there are people who are chosen to do this kind of work, mm-hmm. you know, but if I go to school to be a vet and then you're like, day one, there's a rhino here and you got to put your hand up its butt. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit my job. Yeah. But Omar, this is Omar's thing. You know, he wants to help the animals. He says he wants to act like a non-threatening pigeon, but then actually be an owl.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I've actually spoken with Omar about this. I got an inside scoop.
You've spoken with Omar?
Well, not talked, but we've exchanged some DMs about this. Well, he messaged me. Hold on. I don't be talking to these survivors. I don't like them. No, I'm kidding. Omar
about which thing? Not the rhino's butt, right?
No. Even though I do have questions. I think Omar said the awkward part of his persona is that owls are actually very stupid. They're good hunters, but they're very, very dumb. And so for Omar to be saying this, I'm like, oh, Omar, like, think higher of yourself. You're not an owl. You're more like a pigeon. You know, mm-hmm. Be a pigeon. If owls are dumber than pigeons, then be a pigeon.
Interesting. But the owls have a much better reputation.
Yeah, they look smarter. They're like me. Like, when I put my glasses on, people are like, oh, he's intelligent. Then I take them off. They're like, oh, this is a clown.
Yeah, wise old owl. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just I guess you get wisdom when you get older. But I think we should stop assuming that. Like, I think we should start assuming the worst of people. Like, you're just old. You know, and that's okay. Sometimes you can just be old and not wise. Yeah. You could be an old head.
Let's get crack-a-lackin'.
Yeah.
Rob, I will flip this table over. Stop that. You stop it now. But I think Omar is hilarious. I think the funniest part of Omar is the big emu t-shirt with the little underwear. Like he's almost Winnie the Pooh in it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so funny to me, because you want to talk about people's family members being embarrassed to you. Like, if you're out there in like the Moomoo style big t-shirt, like you're like a nightgown, I'm always going to laugh. Like, he's rocking the Madea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I love it. I love Omar. I am kicking myself. Well, I could have done nothing different. Let's just be very clear. I did not get the first pick, but Omar would have been my first pick.
He went second in the draft, correct?
Yeah. And I got the third pick. So I didn't get a chance to get Omar, but I would have picked Omar first. And I'm very happy with what I've seen on TV so far, aside from his very dainty legs. I hope to never see those again, but we'll be seeing them for a few weeks coming up. So,
yes. Yeah. Okay. You feel like that those are not like end game survivor legs. You want to have like a very, like a lot of lower body strength.
I just in general don't like to see people's thighs. Like, I'm not a thigh guy, you know, and I see a lot of Omar's thighs, you know, very pigeon-like, very, very owl-like in that makeup. But No, Omar is fun to watch. I'm very excited to see how they play the game.
Okay. All right. Let me give you another question. Here's one from our great friend, Megan, the librarian.
Yes.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Chappelle. This is Megan, the librarian, calling. Happy new Survivor season. Yay! So I'm intrigued by the amulet twist. I feel like this could lead to some very sneaky, sneaky behavior. What I would like to know is, WWCD, what would Chappelle do in this situation? I'm also wondering if Chappelle has any ideas for more twisted advantages that could add some drama to the game. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay.
I like the question, but I'm not a twist guy, you mm-hmm. know, like I like watching chaos, but I don't never want to be a part of it. Yeah. I like to observe the chaos. So this would have been very funny to have me in that situation, but Rob, break it down for me. So the amulet twist is that, like, if they're all three in the game, then the amulet advantage is very weak.
It's very weak. If all three of them can combine to get one extra vote, which they give away just basically. You know, you go to Shipwheel Island, you get an extra vote. I mean, this is like nothing.
Yeah. Would it be better if it was an idle nullifier? Like, I feel like, you know, since this thing can go to the final six, I think you want that instead. Like, I'll keep y'all around if we can stop, you know, like the Marianne of the season from just like, you know, like if she gets to the end, she's going to win. It's like, well, she has an idol. Well, luckily, the three of us with our powers combined, you know, like, you know, we can
potentially. If this was going to work where, like, it have been better, hypothetically, if maybe one of the tribes win, and tell me if you think that this would make more sense. Let's say one of the tribes wins reward, and then we have a situation where that they go and get a reward, and then randomly, like, they sit at the table, and then instead of three people from different tribes, three random people from the same tribe end up getting this. And so now you have a situation, because there's no situation where these three people from three different tribes are going to end up like trying to work together to get an extra vote. But maybe it might end up making like different alliances than you would normally have had, where almost like in the idea of like a Team America, where it's like, okay, well, these aren't the people that I chose to work with, but now I'm sort of like incentivized to work with these random people. And then maybe you could have three people sticking together, even though they wouldn't have normally, because they are incentivized by the event. I'm not sure if that's necessarily better TV, but I think if you wanted to really have people struggling with, should I work with these people or should I, like, there's almost no way that three random people from three different tribes are going to stick together.
Yeah. It's you do this at the merge, maybe, you know, like do this where like the tribal lines are already drawn. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, okay, I understand that you really trust these people and that you really want to go to the end with these people. But now there's a bounty on that guy's head, you know, and you can't beat him anyway. He's your number one ally. And personally, you can't beat him. So it would behoove you to switch, you know, to another alliance, comma, but you hate these people on that alliance and you really don't want to work with them. But how are you going to get out the biggest threat? And so, yeah, I think something like that. You make sure that they're all on the same tribe, maybe preferably a big tribe. So it's not like, you know, three out of the five people on the tribe have the thing and they just realign. So I agree. I think this is going to be drama if they all make it to the swap, because I feel if there's a swap, so if they swap after maybe like the next episode or two, and now you have two out of the three people on the same tribe, then those two people can now be shooting at each other. You know, they know a very like big secret about each other, but they also are incentivized to not work together. And so, I think that would be cool. I think the issue is that if that one person is swapped to the tribe, and they're like in the minority, it's very easy to be like, well, let's just get them out now because they were already going to go. It almost marks you in a way, you know, if you end up with somebody else. Yeah. I don't love advantages like that. I want your advantage to be an advantage. And like, it's not like they knew about this and had the option to leave it. Right. They found out about it and were like, oh, I have this thing. Like, now you're stuck with it. It's on you. It's not like you could give it back. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, yeah. I do think it will be an advantage for the last person left here for this. But they are almost like in their own like prisoner's dilemma that those three people are all facing.
Right. And you could do this every season until it works well. Like, I really do. Like, because one day there's going to be a moment where the three of them are all together at the merge and, you know, and it's going to align. I was just like, I don't think you can count on it happening all the time.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't hate it, but it just sounded very dumb, you know?
I wonder
why is the amulet the key?
That I don't know. Well, the logo for the season, and you could see, if you're watching the YouTube, you could see the logo above us that this logo is, I'm going to try to be polite.
Be polite.
Yeah. This logo, I feel like is maybe an early draft of a logo.
Oh, yeah. They hadn't gotten signed off on by all of the people involved.
They ran out of time and they had to do the season.
So do you think the logo will be a clue to anything like in the past? You know, we've seen where I think it was basically a map to in the one season that nobody likes. Edge? Island of the Idols. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
we've seen the key. We have to imagine that this big padlock is going to show up at some point, right?
Right. And there's a maze there.
And the maze.
What if, like, if you study the maze and now all of a sudden there, when the mage challenge happens, you can just like breeze through it because you have the key.
Well, do you think that this will be, is that a table maze or do you think a maze that you will have to run through as a person?
I don't think having a table maze beforehand helps, you know, and table mazes normally have like holes in them sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it looks pretty tame to be a table maze.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the big, you know, like hedge bush maze or something that they normally do. Didn't you compete in the maze challenge?
Yeah, but it wasn't made out of hedges. I don't think that they
They've never done that, but that's how I imagine those mazes to be. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, we did a blindfold maze, which don't get me started on that. But I'm wondering if them from a graphic design perspective, if the Survivor designers are hoping season 43 has a theme.
That's the thing, though. Back in the day, it was easy to do these probably because you knew which random location you were going to be at. And you could make the buff or the logo kind of indicative of where you are.
Yeah. Survivor China. Like that's easy.
Right. Earth's Last Eden and stuff like that. Like you want to do that kind of stuff.
Chappelle, what's going on with your timer?
I don't know. I think it's my alarm. I think it's very early in the morning for me. Mm-hmm. Normally, I try to sleep into the wee hours of the day, roughly 4 or 5 p.m.
Yeah.
But
otherwise, you're not going to get the Chappelle o'clock. Yeah.
You got to rest in the morning. You can't. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. But I think like if you looked at the buffs in the past, I think they mean something. And so I just don't think this logo means anything yet. They can make it, you know, if this key thing becomes a very big deal, then, you know, maybe it will lead to something, but right now it's just the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does their key open a lock that has these advantages in it?
I don't think the amulet key should have any more power than it already does. Like, could you imagine that? Like, you do.
Well, maybe that's where the thing. Like, maybe like there's the three thing. Like, a one key opens the box that has the idol.
Maybe
the key is the idol. I guess I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Chappelle, one other thing on the amulets, that did they do it backwards? Where should the things have been the most powerful if the three of them stick together? Where we have like, so if High and Lindsay and Drea, if they can, if they work together, it's like a God idol, like it's the Tyler Perry idol. If they work together, like, do we want to see this sort of like exile alliance idea of three people that nobody would suspect working together are. Because it's actually in some ways similar to last season where with the secret phrases, and we have this as well, the idea of knowledge is power, where that potentially only the people that have the beware advantages would know where the other idols are. And so that's like another version of this. Like, do we want to see three random people having to try to figure out a way to work together as opposed to three random people trying to figure out a way to have to target each other?
I don't know. I'm torn because we've seen this already in the past where, like, we basically have brought people who have no, like, knowledge of each other to a random spot and given them this incentive to work together. I'm thinking Ryan and Chrissy, you know, even just like, I gave you this thing. Now we're a team and it works. And those alliances normally do well. Even like you said, the Exile Alliance, where we're thinking like Taj and Steven and that whole thing. But like, that's been done, you know, and this hasn't been done. So I'm fine with it. But I do think, like, I would much rather see them all trying to work together. But this is kind of like just throwing chaos into the mix to see what happens, you know, like do something different. So I'm not, I think it would work the work both ways. But I do think this is more interesting, you know, just as a concept.
Which is why I think it would appeal to you that it's just basically, you know, injecting this chaos into it.
Yeah, again, I like to watch chaos, but if I played Survivor, my head would explode if I found out like they just, you just randomly gave them this thing and they just, because they were over there, that's not fair to me. But that's why I would never play this game and I wouldn't be good at it either.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and talk about another question. This is from the great Navi. Navi has a question for you, Chappelle. Has Chappelle ever brought up Harry Potter to bond with his students or any of the young heads out there?
Oh, man. Okay.
Now, this is what, just to reset, Tori, in an effort to bond with Zach and Swathi, said this.
Wait, so do you like Harry Potter?
Yeah, I mean, I read all the books.
There you go. True fans.
And I'm from Florida, so I've been to the Wizarding World. Like,
have you ever had butterbeer?
Of course.
How is it?
It's delicious.
I'm going to try to be very kind to Tori in this moment.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back to Navi's question. But I think had Tori not told us that this was contrived and that they were doing this, you know, almost as an act, maybe it wouldn't have come off so transparent that it was fake. Like, have you tried butterbeer? Like, Tori, you're 50 years old. I'm kidding. She's just like, she's older than them,
you know, but I don't think by much. Is she 25? Yeah,
I think so. But here's the thing. I'm not calling her old. I'm very much older than her. What I'm saying is like, there's like, have you tried butterbeer? Yeah, Tori, that was like a novelty years ago when Harry Potter World was new. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, hey, you kids, you want to like, I would like to purchase one weed, please. You know, it's like, it feels transparent.
What's crack-a-lackin'?
Exactly. Like, don't say that to me ever and ever, Rob. But, you know, like, that's why I said maybe had she not telegraphed it, it wouldn't have come off so transparent. Like, they were able to put the music on top of it to kind of make you feel like, oh, okay, this is not something that it's coming off like very like a real connection, because Tori gives me Spencer Raymond Bledsoe vibes this entire episode. It's very much like, it's so
they have
clinical.
A lot in common, I think.
I think so as well. And so like
a couple of things,
a few. And so it's funny because I was like, you know, you telling people that you're making fake connections, it's like, it doesn't go over well. Like, I understand you want to get like a mastermind edit, but I didn't like it from Spencer and I don't like it from Tori. But that being said, the Harry Potter thing is just low hanging fruit. You know, I think Stephen Fishback said it the best. Like, who hasn't? You know, like, they're 22 years old. Yes, they saw Harry Potter. It's like, I don't think you deserve a pat on the back for that. You know, like, actually ask them stuff. Like, if it was me, I would definitely lie about being interested in TikTok. I would be like,
have you seen all of the TikToks? Have you seen them all? You're a true fan.
Yeah. Have you seen the Hype House? It wasn't that great. You know, like
the dances, everything.
Yeah. That would be me, like pretending to know what an e-boy is, like a little anemic, you know, like that would be me. But Harry Potter, no, I wouldn't use that to bond with somebody, especially because, like, of all things, really, you can't find something a little less controversial than Harry Potter. Like, and right now, that's not like this topical reference anymore. That's very like, that you're always going to get a positive
Tori does
from.
Not shy away from controversy. Okay.
So I've heard. And that's their business. I wouldn't lead with that. You know, I'm sure the 22-year-olds are talking about something else.
Can we talk about just a big picture about how Tori's doing out there? Cause I know that, you know, this got a lot of attention from this past week, but I felt like the overall, I watched the episode back. I feel like that Tori came away from this in a pretty good spot.
I don't know. Because we know that Tori is on Romeo's radar at the very least.
Yes.
And we also know that Romeo has Drea's ear because Romeo was there able to shift Drea away from Zach and to kind of put the attention on Tori. And so I think if you have Drea's ear in this tribe, I think that is the person who's the most powerful because Drea's not getting voted out. This tribe cannot afford to lose anybody with any type of physical strength right now. And so I think because Drea's going to be here for a while, I think Tori could be in danger. I think she really needs to be working on trying to build a bond with Drea because I know Zach Wurtenberger said that he wanted to play like Todd Herzog, and I was very excited to see that happen. But I really think Romeo might have stepped into his spot, you know, kind of latching on to the person with power and making himself an asset to them. So, I don't know. I don't know. Did people feel very strongly about Tori's position after the episode?
No, I don't know. I think it's sort of like people feel like mostly seen that she's in a very bad position, but I think that has sort of been a little exaggerated. I don't think it's quite as bad. Now, if they go to tribal council again, it's probably going to be her just because, you know, that's the nature of these small tribes. I think Romeo might be in the best position in the tribe where first glance, when Romeo makes the alliance with Drea and Roxroy, I think you think of them as a three and that Romeo is probably the third out of that three. But in my interview with Zach, he talked about how Roxroy was talking about that they should vote out Drea. We saw Drea in the episode say it's got to be Roxroy. So I don't think that they are nearly as close as that. I feel like that Roxroy is sort of like being like they're going to let Roxroy think that he's the leader of this group. Probably Romeo and Drea are closer. But, you know, Swathi seemed to be going to Roxroy with what she wanted to do. I don't know. It seemed like that she was closest with Zach from what we saw in the edit. But we don't really know where she is. So I kind of think that Romeo, as you mentioned with Todd Herzog, might be the person who is really sort of like the little finger behind what's going on in this tribe.
Yeah, he's a swing vote. He really is, because Tori has nowhere else to turn but Drea right now. And she doesn't know that Drea was about to vote her out. Like, Drea would have easily voted her out once Romeo got in Drea's head and said, you know, like, we can't get rid of Roxroy. I don't want to get rid of Zach. And so Roxroy has his natural pair in Swathi. They seem to have bonded. And so if Drea and Tori are a thing and Roxroy and Swathi are a thing, Romeo's in the middle and he can go either way. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where he already came after Tori once. And so, you know, this next group, if him and Drea decide to get a wild hair and decide, well, maybe we don't need Roxroy, then Roxroy will be gone next.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you're right. Romeo probably is making the decision here. I think Drea just kind of got frustrated with losing, honestly. Logically speaking, there should have been no reason why Roxroy was even in the running to go home, just because your tribe is so outmatched, so outmatched. You had no chance in that challenge at all. And even like they were talking about how they were down one person, you know, because of Jackson's exit, everybody had to use five people and the tribe was designed by for six people. Right. But let's just say this tribe had all six people and everybody else had five. They would have only had Romeo to help them in addition. And that, I just don't think that would have been, like, no disrespect to Romeo, but Romeo said they were like 112 pounds coming out on the show. Like, you lifting this heavy boat up and pushing it up a hill is probably not something that Romeo is going to be super strong at. And so I think getting rid of Roxroy in any situation where the challenges are going to be that physical is a mistake. So, I don't think it was a bad move to shift it. I think Romeo probably should have pushed harder on the Tori thing. Like, I really think that they did lose a step. Like, I think last season you would have seen Shan get Tori out, whereas Romeo kind of took his foot off the gas a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think it was hard because where Tori was like now aligned with Drea, I think it was hard to now say, like, get Drea on board with when she felt like that's okay. I have something going now with Tori to throw her person away. I think it was, you know, harder for Romeo to, you know, just keep dragging Zach forward in the game.
Yeah, but I think what you do here is you go after Roxroy. Like, because we know Tori was willing to vote out Roxroy. Tori legit said it. And so if Romeo has that information, and we don't know if they do, but if Romeo has that information, you go to Roxroy and say, Tori wants you out. Like, but with Roxroy, we were presented with Romeo saying, I just don't want to get rid of Zach. what he should have been saying is, Roxroar, I want to work with you and Tori wants you out. We got to get Tori out. I think Roxroar would have immediately been like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah. I don't, and like I said, that he would have been like,
let's get crack-a-lacking.
When I walk out of here on this video podcast, all right, God, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But yeah, I think that is where Romeo could have pushed harder. If you sell Roxroar that, well, it was going to be you. Like, it's really not between Tori mm-hmm. and Zach. It's between Tori and you. Then I think that's where you get everybody on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think that we have Roxroy, who is the biggest guy on this tribe, where I think that you feel like that he did help them win the first challenge also, where he was able to, you know, pull up the jailbreak and get the flint. For whatever reason, it seems like that people felt like that was not his challenge when they ended up losing in the immunity challenge. But I think that where Romeo, he didn't see season 41. He didn't see how it went for Shannon Ricard. I think it's been a minute since, you know, Denise and Malcolm came away from Matt Singh. So I don't think he necessarily wants to, you know, get it down to two people in his group.
Yeah, this tribe is a hot mess. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it what it is. This is a hot mess. There's no reason why Roxroar should be targeting Drea. You should look at that tribe like we all did in the preseason and say, this tribe is going to struggle at challenges. What can we do to avoid that? Unless you're fine with going to tribal council like week after week. You know, if you're fine with that, which we've seen happen before, where they vote out the strong person and just continue to lose, but it doesn't matter because we have a strong like nucleus of people in the like, you didn't whatever lose a few like vote out the fluff and then y'all get absorbed by somebody else probably or swapped into something else. But if you want to win, like if you feel like you're in danger, if you go to tribal council, then yeah, by all means, you should be keeping the tribe strong. And it would take a lot to keep this tribe strong. Mm-hmm. Voting out Roxroy or Drea is just not the answer.
Okay. I want to go back to the tribal council because I thought there was something interesting that came up where Jeff asked Swathi a simple question. So Swathi, you know, basically, how are you doing?
Swathi, you nervous?
Yes,
nervous?
If I could cut off a finger to not be at tribal tonight, I would. I just, like, don't want to be here.
You would give up your pinky.
Yeah.
Swathi, why are you like this?
Nobody asked you to volunteer that. You could have given up something much less.
Absolutely no one. Colon, Swathi, cut off my fingers.
Like, you know what? Take a finger. And just like, I was just going to ask you how you were doing. Yeah. Take my finger, please. Swathi, give up rice. Give up flint. There are other things that you could just hand to Jeff to not go to tribal council. It won't work. But if you're bargaining, you don't start with a pinky. Like, if I could shave my head, Jeff, you know, maybe that's something you do. But a pinky, I like my pinkies, Rob. I'd like to keep them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
could you imagine sacrificing your pinky to go home the following week?
Yeah, to go three more days on Survivor, maybe even two more days in a 26-day season.
Right, or maybe you get dehydrated or something. Like, now you've given up a pinky and now your body's just starting to fail you. What did you do? I don't think this is the move, Swathi. You don't have to give this up. Like, yeah. Jeff doesn't want your pinkies.
Well, maybe this could have been a good spot for the fake blood of like just sort of like hide it and then like, oh, yeah. Jeff, I cut off my pinky to keep the trend. And like, oh, my God. All right. But I keep Swathi's been throwing up.
Well, we know they're not going to stop the challenge. They're just like, Swathi's pushing through. She looks like she's in so much pain. Like her finger is like missing and she's bleeding profusely. That's a horrible spot for the fake blood.
Yeah.
At that point, you have to go home, Swathi. Like, you've given up a finger. It was a choice. But I think people are still trying to figure out what their persona is going to be like here. We saw Zach trying to make a couple catchphrases or be like, he was like the go-to guy for like the entering tribal council mm-hmm. moment. So I feel like they're just young. You know, they're young. They're impulsive. They're saying things.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Swathi continues. So Jeff says, okay, so you'd cut off a finger to stay here for one more vote.
For the rest of your life to survive one tribal.
Yes.
And if you came back next tribal and I said the other pinky.
I think past like day 7 or 8, I would stop giving up a finger.
Right, so 2 digits.
Yeah. So Chappelle, one finger's not enough.
2 pinkies. Rob, you give up 2 of your fingers.
Yeah.
You make the merge. And then there's an hourglass twist and you go home.
Oh my God.
I want my pinkies back.
Burn it down.
I want my pinkies back.
Burn it down.
I want my pinkies back. Stitch them on.
Hypothetically, if I could have given up a pinky to go one more vote in Survivor All-Stars, Chappelle, I think about it. Because I'm going to go very far. Because my tribe didn't go to another tribal council till they're voting off Lex at that point. I think I'm probably like in the final seven. Just gonna get one more vote, knowing what I know now.
Think about it. But maybe the outcome of the challenges are different now that you're out there missing your pinky.
I'm sort of like missing a finger.
Right, they're like, Rob's a liability. He's a liability to challenge us to vote him out. And people are like, yeah, we should do that. I don't think that always works out for you, but it would have bought you some more time.
Pinky toe?
Pinky toe. Okay, that's different. Rupert basically did a whole season with a broken toe.
I lost my toe already.
And they were like, shut up, Rupert. Either go home or keep it on the playground, because we can't do both. You can't complain about the pinky toe and still be out here. Well, I think it was, he hurt his big toe. So that's a bigger loss than the pinky toe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hope that Swathi doesn't, do any other, mutilations of herself to stay in the game.
I mean, how bad do you want it? You know, these people, they really, really want it. That's why I said you can't leave this up to the survivors to make the decision. They would have had to physically drag Daniel one arm off of the beach because he wasn't going to stop the challenge. If my arm pops out of my socket, I'm screaming. I'm like, it's Jeff, help. I'm just like, they're like, what? It's like, it's popped out. Like, oh, it's like, it doesn't hurt that bad, but I definitely want you to fix it right now. You know? Yeah, these survivors don't care about themselves. We should really look into the psyche vows now.
Okay. Chappelle, do you have a winner pick? Is it Marianne, your first draft pick?
No. My brain is saying go with Omar, right? Because I would have picked Omar first. My heart is saying, man, it'd be cool if Marianne won. It would be great. Emotional roller coaster. It'd be fun. But my gut is saying Jenny Kim Spradlin. That is where I'm going. Yes. Queen Jenny.
Yes. Yes, you went right to her as well. You've been talking about her on social media. What is she doing that you are so impressed with?
It's funny.
She's counting the triangles?
It's not the counting the triangles. It's the revelation that, oh God, I'm being this on my own. You know, she looks up, because I am not a math person. I think Jonathan got to 11 before they were ready to guess.
Let me play that clip real quick.
6 to 9. I'm getting 11, dude.
I'm up to 36.
Oh. This isn't my strong suit, so he saw 30 more triangles than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 25.
Yeah, I would have definitely gone to half. I would have been like, well, I got 11, you got 36. Let's split the difference. That's what I would have been useless here. And Jenny's like, I guess I have to do this on my own, but also I have to do this on my own. Like, I'm surrounded by crazy people. And I like that. Jenny had a couple good moments in the episode. And so for me, Jenny Kim Spradlin is my winner pick just from a gut. Like, I really want to see, I want to see that. I want to see Jenny navigate the game. I really wish I had picked Jenny in my draft. Like, if I could have a mulligan. But I would have had to lose Marianne, so I can't do both of those things. So I was in a tight spot. I get really bad draft position, Rob.
Yeah. You got to work it out with Taryn.
He has to lose this one. I mean, don't get me wrong. I lose, so I should essentially get the last draft pick next year, too. But because I automatically lose for having the grenade. But I do feel like if I had a better draft position, I wouldn't have gotten Omar still. There's no way I was going to get first pick, but I probably could have got, if I could have figured out a way to get Marianne and Jenny at the same time, that would have been a dream combo. Mm-hmm. But yes, I'm rooting for Jenny Kim.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay. Chappelle, are you ready to talk about some of the things from Survivor social media? I really want to make that a bigger part of the feedback show this season, because I feel like that there is a lot of fun to have with the cast, different things going on with the Survivor alumni. And that's a thing where I really want to highlight that here on the Survivor Feedback Show.
Okay. Do I have to create a Twitter account for this, or are you going to just tell me?
When you say to create a Twitter account for this, what would you create?
Because I'm not on Twitter, you know, so.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That would be ideal if you could create a Twitter account. And then,
okay, I'll consider it.
Then you could partake in all of the wildness going on here in Survivor. So, yeah, that would be wild. Yeah.
It seems a bit chuggy, you know?
A little bit chuggy, like, to be on Twitter?
Like, who really? Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, a pinch. Like, I think it's aging out. I think I'm too cool for Twitter.
Well, you say
that. I'm young.
You say that, Chappelle, but that we have Lydia, who, as we know,
as a young woman, as a Gen Z, I feel way outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah. That as a Gen Z.
Yeah. You know, as a Gen Z, like myself. Like, we're watching Harry Potter.
Yes, as a Gen Z. Okay, but here's, Lydia is on Twitter.
Yes. And what is Lydia a good follow on Twitter?
We can investigate a little bit here, because a lot of people, Gabby referenced this as well, but, this was probably the most viral tweet in all of Survivor Twitter this week. Lydia at Lydia underscore Meredith. She goes by the handle Lydia Chlamydia.
Okay.
Okay.
Is she okay? Yeah.
Lydia Chlamydia says, I actually think I have the biggest, fattest, juiciest ass in hashtag Survivor history.
Oh, okay. That's a thought to have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Lydia was just talking, or do you think, like, Lydia has done the research? Like, has Lydia combed through the archives of Survivor history and, like, really examined some of these asses?
Do you think that Mike Bloom needs to start to put in the legwork for the outwit out play out list of Survivor's biggest, fattiest, juiciest ass?
I thought you were going to ask me if Mike Bloom had the biggest, fattiest, juiciest ass in podcasting.
I think not.
You don't think so? You're not caked up?
I don't think so. I mean,
mean to tell me,
yeah,
that Mike Bloom is not double cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon? I just refuse to believe it.
I've met him in person, and
What's that ass like?
Yeah. Well, I would say,
do that ass sit, Rob?
Does it sit right? Yeah.
Is it sitting? Is it sitting, Rob?
I don't think that is his number one feature.
I, on the other hand, was a man whore.
I mean,
that ass fat. Didn't I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I think that, I personally, I don't have to know if Mike Bloom has the fattest, juiciest the ass BFJ, in Survivor history. Yeah. But like, you know, does it sit? That's the question. Mm-hmm. If it be sitting, then you got to give it credit where it's due. I think Lydia is being kind to themselves. You know, I don't know this. I was not checking out Lydia's quote unquote biggest, fattest, juiciest ass. Mm-hmm. But I think if there was like a ranking done, I wouldn't be involved in it. But I also don't think Lydia would probably crack the top, like one or two. Maybe they're like top five or something. I don't know.
Top five.
Done the research.
That's pretty good.
Maybe. But, I feel like they're going very high, so I'm just going to cautiously aim lower, and I'm sure it's somewhere in the middle. But again, I have no insight into that at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we get any updates on this ranking.
Rob, have you considered stealing Lydia's tweet?
And I should say that I am the BFJ.
The BFJ ass. In podcast history, I think you should just throw down the gauntlet. Make Mike Bloom call your bluff. Like, if you claim it first, Mike Bloom can't have it. Y'all both can't have the biggest, fattest, juiciest ass in podcasting. So, who is it?
I don't know.
Who is it? Rob, you tell me.
I don't think I want that smoke. The people that are saying that they have it. I don't. That's not me.
Yeah, then y'all have a BFJ off. You know, you gotta like battle it out. The Brent Steele of biggest, fattest, juiciest asses in Survivor or podcasting. Survivor podcasting. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah, this is something that if you're going to explore it, I don't want to be involved. You want to see the results?
You don't? I thought that this was going to be you were the judge.
No. I will determine if it is a valid critique. Like, if you tell me and like, this is the results, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe
do a eyeball emoji. I'll do that. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So
like, I think Lydia would get along with TikTok Nicole. Like I feel like they both have like the chaotic tweet energy, mm-hmm. you know? I think Lydia had posted a meme or something that said no more girl bossing, just girl resting, girl sleeping, and girl laying down, etc. And that gave me TikTok Nicole energy. Like, this is something that TikTok Nicole would tweet out. I think they'd be good friends.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Chappelle, I mentioned that Gabby had referenced this tweet the other night. She said she should be in consideration. I mean, that's like, again, not my place. Gabby said that.
Okay.
That's whatever.
Oh, she thinks she a top five biggest, fattest, juiciest ass in Survivor history?
That's what Gabby said.
Look,
I sat there awkwardly. Yeah.
I mean, you brought it up to me. I was not prepared for this conversation. But like I said, if y'all want to talk about it, we can talk about it. I don't have an opinion. I'm just going to stay out of that. But I think if we have to do a draft of the biggest, fattest, juiciest asses in Survivor history, and if Gabby needs the endorsement,
you might get the grenade again.
If you think Gabby would be first out?
Well, I don't know.
I was going to put my chips. I trust her. If Gabby said it, it must be true. So I trust her.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I don't know Lydia. You know, she knew on the scene. Like, Gabby is a battle tested Survivor player. If she says she has the biggest, fattest, juiciest ass in Survivor history,
yeah.
I support her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Now that might not be the thing that Gabby said that you take exception with.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, again, I don't know. I don't know Gabby's BFJ, you know,
yeah.
situation. I'm just following the conversation.
Okay. Well, let's talk about her INTJ situation where Gabby came for some different systems that people are working with on the TikTok and beyond. This was from my conversation with Gabby the other night, and several of our listeners, including Tommy Guam, John, wanted to hear your reaction to what Gabby said with me. This is from Gabby Pescuzzi recaps Survivor 42, episode 1. TikTok.
There's a lot of crap on TikTok too. Oh. There's a lot of psychology crap on TikTok. But you know, and people are reading about their attachment style and people are trying to figure out what their Myers-Briggs personality type. Yes. There's a lot of
Enneagram,
people that are, yeah. Yeah, Enneagram. Well, so a lot of things that are not very scientific.
Oh, you don't like the, you don't like Enneagrams?
It is not real.
Shots fired. Oh my God.
Well, what I'll say about it is it's like, yes, if you take a test and you're describing things about yourself and then it gives you results where it's like, you are like this, like that is, it's going to tell you what information you self-reported.
Yeah.
But
so what is real, Gabby? What about the five love languages? Is that real?
No. And I, you know what? I was sad to learn the five love languages. I mean, it's.
Yeah, we're going to. She doesn't like that either. All right. By the way, I just want to say, Gabby was incredible on the recap podcast. If anybody missed that, that is 2 hours, 5 minutes of incredible podcast with Gabby. But Chappelle.
And I have to follow that up?
Yeah. You and I.
That's incredible.
Back in, I believe it was December of 2020, podcast about.
Yeah.
The any it was earlier than December 2020.
I feel like it was earlier than December. Like I feel like, or it was one of those things where we were talking about it for a while and we couldn't really figure out what we were going to do together. Rob, you pulled a Gabby. You were like, "Ooh, I really want to play with you," and I was like, "Oh, okay,
yeah,
you know." And then we figured it out. But I think it was around that time. Okay. You're right.
Breaking down Enneagrams with Chappelle, November 21, 2020. So you are correct.
Look at me.
Okay.
Yes.
Sam, can we make a link to robiswebsite.com/Enneagrams so that people, if they want to go back and listen to that podcast? Because then I saw some people, a whole Twitter storm erupted after this. Let me bring in a tweet from, of course, a great friend of the pod, Evie Jagoda. Okay. Evie had this to say about Gabby. On the podcast, Evie said, "Wow, I used to think at Gabby Pescuzzi was one of my favorite Survivor alumni ever, but now I'm listening to her tell Rob Sesternino that the Enneagram is fake, and I feel so betrayed. Still love you at Gabby Pescuzzi, but the pain is raw right now."
Yeah. Like, okay. I like Evie. And I don't. I don't feel the pain though. Like, cause hear me out. Gabby is a good Survivor player, a very intelligent person, very well read in these matters, very studied. And so scientifically speaking, I have to trust Gabby, you know, like trust Gabby. If Gabby said it ain't real, comma, but you don't come to Gabby to talk about things that are fake. When you talk about stuff that's fake, stuff that's made up, you come to me. I'm the expert. So yes, Gabby can speak on all that science because Gabby is right. But the fake stuff, that's my bag.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and look, I know I said we got to trust Gabby, but the big fat juiciest ass thing, like at this point, who are our sources? You know, like is Gabby just making stuff up? It's really hard to know at this point. But yes, I think Gabby's 100% correct.
And you know, have the biggest, fattest, juiciest Enneagrams out of anybody.
Ooh. Yeah, big heavy ones, heavy Enneagram, big heavy Enneagram energy.
EFJ Enneagrams, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big, fat, juiciest Enneagram. Yeah. Okay, so...
Your Enneagram circle is round and, yeah.
It's juicy. It's voluptuous.
Lots of triangles, even some more than 11.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot to unpack. So when it comes to Gabby's statement, I think that, yeah, Gabby's definitely correct. Like, you know, this stuff is not rooted in any science or whatever. But I think when it comes to Myers-Briggs and stuff like that, if it speaks to you and if it helps you in any way, whether it's your horoscope, your Myers-Briggs, your Enneagram, your love language, if it helps you, then why not go for it? You know, also, Gabby doesn't know her Enneagram number. And so I feel like if she knew her Enneagram number, then she would be like, she would buy in a little bit more. See, she's where you were. Yeah. She's still where you were before I met you, you know, like she's like, I think I'm a 2, but it could be a 4. And maybe I was a 7 and I changed. Like, see, Gabby, you haven't done the research. Check out the podcast. We'll talk about it. And then DM me when you're ready to talk about things that are made up. Cause yeah. I'm ready.
Okay. You know me. I'm a big fan.
But it's all good.
I'm a believer.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, look, if this is the thing that's going to align me with Evie to target Gabby in life, then yes, I'll take it. Because an alliance with Evie is amazing. But like, me and Gabby are cool. I thought Gabby was going to be upset with me because of the David versus Goliath podcast. Like, I thought, like, oh no, once I thought once Survivor podcast, podcasts start dropping and the players start listening, they're all going to hate me because I'm like talking crap about their games. But no. This is definitely a personal attack by Gabby. Like, it's much deeper than that at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Chappelle, who knew?
Were you a fan of the game within the game?
No, I didn't even. I missed it.
You missed it last season. No. Well, I'm asking past tense. Were you a fan of it? Because a lot of Survivor fans noticed that the game within the game was MIA this week.
Oh, so is it gone forever?
We don't know. I didn't even realize it, but then I was on an Instagram live. I check me out on Instagram because I do like to go live and talk with different people that come on. And I was chatting with your friend of mine, Naomi Calhoun, and she brought up to me that, hey, did you notice the game within a game was gone?
Yeah. Look, as far as I'm concerned, it was wasting time on our screens. You know, like,
it was on for like 3 seconds.
That's 3 seconds I could have had back. You know, like, you tell me that 3 seconds that we could have given to Marianne, but you gave it to a Rebus puzzle. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. Like, this is a good cast. I think the people on this cast are interesting. And so I don't want to take away from them. And then, like, were the kids really game within the gaming? Were the kids logging in every week?
Kids really liked it.
Are you sure? Have you surveyed the kids?
I did. I asked my son, Dominic, who's 8, and he really could care less about the rest of the episode. And he would say, Dad, can we do the game within the game?
And what about Anthony?
He doesn't care.
Exactly. Look, like I'm saying, 50%, Rob, that's not good enough.
Really, and it's hard for me to get, like, my son loves Big Brother. But it's mm-hmm. Yeah, that for whatever he doesn't really connect with Survivor at this point in time. The only thing about the premiere that caught his interest was he said, Dominic, you know, there's a lot of fake blood on the premiere of Survivor. They gave them fake blood.
Like, go on.
He's like, Dad, I would watch right. that part.
Yeah, tell me more. Tell mm-hmm. me more about the fake blood.
Yes.
Like, Dominic, somebody has the biggest, fattest, juiciest Fake blood. Survivor fake blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like, but okay, I'm in.
Chappelle, do you feel like that it's wild of all the things that did get brought back of the let's bring back Ship Wheel Island, bring back the Beware Advantage, bring back the triangles, everything they said, no, God, need that. Game within a game. Ah. All right.
Yeah.
That we don't have time for that.
I mean, I guess if you have to cut some stuff, the game within the game is probably one of the first things that I would cut. Because, like, why are we doing this? Also, maybe Jeff isn't breaking the fourth wall anymore. And I mean, that was just for one season.
Well, he did break the fourth wall to open the show.
He also inserted himself into the game to have a whole separate conversation to Jackson. So maybe we're going to see a lot more hands-on Jeff. You know, Jeff just shows up at Tribal Council like, Lydia, come talk to me. I've seen your tweets. You know, maybe that's something that's going to happen. But it's less, you know. I think in 41, it was very much like, let's see if we can get people hooked on the show. And then I think they realized that, no, I think Survivor has, almost got a shot of adrenaline from the pandemic. You know, like, there's a lot of people who had never seen it and a lot of people who now are binging all the seasons so that they can be self-proclaimed super fans of the show and go on the show to do well. Like, it's more accessible. It's something you can study now, where in the past it was a lot harder to do that. And so, yeah, I don't think we need the game within the game. I think it can go.
Okay. Chappelle, Ricard Foyer, at Ricard Foyer, tweeted out about how close the seasons were timing-wise. Ricard says that Jackson and I were out of our respective seasons 1 week apart, and Heather and Zach were 1 week apart. Hashtag, mind blown emoji, and then a bunch of other hashtags.
So the next person voted out is going to be voted out basically when as a final tribal council.
But yeah, I guess
like
so.
A week. Like, but a Chappelle, week,
this
a week
is
from
wild
that.
Because that based on what we know about the quarantine process, So I don't think we've never had this before where the players from Survivor 41 are playing and then on in a different location, the Survivor 42 players are quarantining.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I guess it's how you have to do it these days to make sure you don't take a huge break from Survivor. Is there a world where they try to do three seasons in a year now that they're just doing them back to back? Like essentially just having them on like a rotating like scale.
Yeah, well, take it with a grain of salt, but that the you know Inside Survivor, which does like sometimes you know get the information out early about what's to come, did report at one time in when Survivor was gearing back up to make up for the year that they lost, that there was some talk about maybe doing a third run of Survivor, that they were going to try to film three versions where one would air in the summer of 2020 and then a fall edition and a spring edition. But that I don't know how serious that was or if that was just a rumor.
Would you like that?
If they did it, like, you know, where we have the challenge and, you know, there's like lots of ways which there's overlap between the challenge and Survivor. Some would say,
really, but, do you want to dive into that? Or no?
No, I would say we'll hold off until the time is more appropriate to do that. But if you were going to do, say, like a one season, which was like an all-star season, because, you know, the challenge that they use Paramount Plus where, okay, there are regular versions that are on MTV and then they have like an all-star season that's only on Paramount Plus. I don't know if Survivor would ever consider doing this, but what if you did, you know, okay, all right, it's the new era, new players are going to be on CBS, but head on over to Paramount Plus where we're going to run, you know, Survivor second chances. So, you know, Survivor, some all-star edition, which is going to be on Paramount Plus.
Survivor OTT.
Survivor you OTT. Know, and maybe it's, yeah, maybe, it's it maybe it's online. Like a little, maybe it's like a shorter, you know, format where I don't know how much shorter than 26 days you want to go, but maybe it's not, you know, 18 players or what, but it feels like that, you know, with Paramount Plus, you know, you could do, you know, more with the Survivor franchise.
I don't know, Rob. It sounds ghetto. Sounds a little ghetto. Little hood. Because I would hate to be on like the third Survivor season. You know, like everything else is on regular TV. It's getting a lot of hype. And then you're like on the online Survivor. Like, you know, like, ooh, like we already have that kind of stuff.
Are you a challenge guy?
No.
Okay.
And I think the reason why is I think I feel like it's oversaturated. And I think that's, I personally wouldn't be a fan of three Survivor seasons if you're going to just kind of like just throwing everybody on here. Like for the challenge, it felt like after a while, like I was like, why is this person on here? Why is this person on here? But if you're having five seasons, a year, then it's kind of like, okay, you kind of have to overlap people and grab random people you wouldn't,
that's fair.
You wouldn't get.
Chappelle, would you say that the challenge is the BFJ of all of the franchises? It's just like there's so much that they're just packing in there.
Yeah, it's overpacked. The BFJ, it's very. I don't know if it's juicy though. It's more like an artificial, you know, like thing. Like it's packed in there, but it's solid. You know, it's like the Brazilian butt lift of reality TV shows. You know, like
augmented.
It happened. Yeah, it happened.
A lot of filler in there.
It's shapely, but yeah, what is it really made out of? Like a McDonald's chicken nugget, you know, like really what's in there? We know it's not all chicken, you know, there's other stuff. The filler, there's a lot of filler. It makes it very solid. You get a lot of solid seasons of the challenge, but do it really make you feel good? Do you enjoy it? Or are you just like suffering through it?
Very good points.
Yeah, just saying. You know, like just like it's the J is the most important part of this. Like big and fat is something that you're going to get from any season. You can do that. That's artificial. But the juicy part, you need the juice.
You need the juice.
It's got to move.
Without the juice, you have nothing.
Gotta move.
Yeah.
You have nothing. Like, if you can't smack it and it don't jiggle, then it's not a season of the challenge. You know, it's just, you know, this is regular. So, that's what I say. I think they need to move in the J direction and stay away from the BNF. They got the BNF down.
Yeah. Like an old owl. That's, you are so wise.
I'm very old. But I'm far from
like
wise.
An old head owl.
Let's get it crack-a-lackin', Rob.
Get it crack-a-lackin'.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is wild that they had, you know, basically like these two casts that are, you know, are there at the same time. And, you know, Jeff is like finishing up with one person and then like 4 or 5 days later. I mean, this must have been especially grueling for the production.
Yeah. But I guess if like they're already out there, like, what, you know, like just go ahead and knock it out. Maybe they just start recording them back to back. I think also for seasons of television where maybe the weather is a concern, maybe you do it all where it's not hurricane season or not, you know, not the rainy season. So you knock it out so they don't have to deal with this kind of stuff. Because think about it this way. With the season being so short, we cannot afford to remove these people from the game for 3 days and put them in a bunker like they did in the past seasons. Like you really can't let the weather stop you at this point. So I think that all the seasons moving forward are probably going to be a little bit sunnier. You know, just knock it out when the weather's good. Do three of them at the same time. Jeff don't even have to be on all the islands at the same time. Like day one, you got this whole separate show filming. Day two, you got a whole separate show filming over there. Just keep them all in rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you feel like that. What's Jeff really doing?
Yeah. Jeff should be like on a sitcom, like where a guy is on like two different dates at the same time and then just running back and forth from the between the two casts.
Right. According to Cochran, all he wears is blue shirts anyway. So he's just blue shirt over here, blue shirt over there. Who would know the difference?
Move back and forth. Okay.
Yeah. He gets some names wrong, but aside from that, like, who amongst us?
Yeah. I mean, and if he wants it, it's just like a woman in the front.
Yeah, exactly. Woman in the front. Your smile is like, you already said that, Jeff. Oh my God. I mean, like, yours an extra. Roman in the front. Your smile, you know. He can use the same lines.
Oh, wait. I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's why he can't like stop the challenge in mid challenge because Daniel's arm is falling off. He's like, I'll be right back. We're like, Jeff, please.
I'll be right back. Deshaun just said something. I gotta go. Deshaun's gotta do or die. Okay.
Right. I'll be right back. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of season 41, the season 41 DVD just apparently has dropped, Chappelle.
Oh, yeah? Do you have a picture?
It's a new era.
Can I see that?
It's a new era, and so Ricard actually also tweeted this out. What do you think of the DVD cover for Survivor 41? It is basically Jeff walking alone with the torch.
He's got like the LL Cool J pant leg rolled up. Yes, Jeff. This is a handsome like DVD cover. I like this.
You like this better than where we have six people. I guess it was the problem that we couldn't pick the six people for Survivor 41.
No, I don't think that's the issue. Who would it be?
It's always three men and three women.
Right. And I'm going to put Erica in the middle because she won. You know, in the past, we've seen Survivor don't even care if you win. They'll put Rupert in the middle if they want to.
They've also put the whole cast. Like, I think that they've gotten away from it.
They love that.
I don't know if they did for what they did for Winners at War, but I think for 39 and 40, which 39 was also, weird call to go with the whole cast. So maybe they don't anymore. Yeah. I don't know.
I think Survivor was more character driven in the past, you know, like where it was like the people who went on Survivor were household names, yourself included, Rob. And so, yeah, we wanted to see you on the front of a DVD cover. I think now, with the way the game is working, like I think it's more about the game than it is the people. They do a really good job of highlighting the people in a better way than I think they've done in the past.
Yeah.
But it does feel like let's give you something because we're not going to give a lot of character moments throughout the season. Like, so we're just going to like break away of like the interpersonal relationships and showing those and just start showing like, okay, this is Mary Ann, but this is Mary Ann's background. This is her family. She's weird. And then they move on. And then also, I don't really think it's fair. Like, Survivor gets to pick who the stars of their season is. Like, don't get me wrong. If you don't pop on TV, you're probably not going to end up on the DVD cover. But also, they can edit you to look however you want. So, I think going with Jeff in this, like, Jurassic Park-esque cover is a safe bet. Now, I don't know what you do for season 42, right? Is it all just different versions of Jeff? Like, is Jeff on, like, the jet ski? Mm-hmm. Is Jeff parachuting, you know? Is it Jeff like standing on the top of a mountain? Like, what? How many variations of this can you go with if you're just using Jeff?
I think they just go with the picture of High like with the fake blood, like rubbing it on himself.
Like, that's a skincare routine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to confirm, yes, season 39 does have the entire cast. Every person. No one redacted.
I would have gone with redacted. Like, I would have definitely redacted certain parts. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do every. Yeah. Like,
or have like the logo strategically placed.
Right. Just like, mm-hmm. or blurred. Mm-hmm. You know, we love a good blur in Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then yeah, season 40 also has the entire cast. Season 41, nobody. So.
Okay. Well, I'm fine with season 40 having the entire cast because, like, for me, like, there are certain people who probably wouldn't have made the cast DVD cover based on their placement. You know, so I'm happy that, you know, they get to be on the cover, you know, just because I like to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know how long you can keep this going. Like, at what point, like, Jeff has basically become the model for the DVD cover. So, mm-hmm. like, are we going to have Jeff snorkeling, you know, hang gliding? Like, what else can we do with Jeff? Because he doesn't actually play the game.
No. I mean, yeah. Maybe we'll get him at Tribal Council. Maybe we'll get, yeah. But it's not a lot that we can do there on the Jeff still frame. Okay, speaking of other CBS hosts. So for the first time in my recollection, mm-hmm. Julie Chen Moonves has come out to say that she tweets, either you slay the game or the game slays you. Are you all watching? Hashtag Survivor 42. Hashtag Survivor. And she has Michaela sipping the tea.
Yay.
A Tribal Council.
Michaela's an icon. I wonder if that's an NFT.
It should be.
I'd give a pinky for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is Julie talking about? Since when does Julie, first of all, when did Julie start caring about Survivor? But also, like, when did Julie start saying you need to slay the game? Yes, Julie. Yes.
Yes. No. Well, Julie, Julie is now watching Survivor. So I wonder if there will be any Survivor coverage or Survivor interviews coming to her YouTube channel, God 101.
Yeah, the Julie and Marianne interview will be very fun. I'm sure they could bond over God.
Yes.
And then there'll be probably other interviews that probably don't go so well.
probably not. Yeah. Do you think that Julie will do exit interviews?
Oh, if that's the case, then I think we should be looking for Zach, you better Wardenberger soon. Yes, Julie. Slay, you better Wardenberger.
Yeah. Chappelle, yeah. That I, of course, I love Julie Chen Moonves' YouTube channel. God 101 has a lot of great interviews with the Celebrity Big Brother contestants that I had mm-hmm. been sent this a couple of weeks ago by the J. Mackey, who here's a moment from Julie Chen Moonves' interview with Kathy Lee Gifford. You know Kathy Lee?
That's Hoda's friend, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Jesus yeah, says about me, and he has to flee. Yeah, that Satan is a loser and a liar.
Father of all lies.
That's right. That's right.
Don't forget it, Chappelle.
Yes, God. Yes. Preach, preach. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Get thee behind thee. Like, yes, yes, Satan, get out of here. You're a loser.
A huge loser.
Julie's taking us to church. Yes. Yes. Yes, Julie. Yes, okay. Yes, God. We're ready to have church up in here,
yes.
Rob.
Yes,
Julie's trying to take
we're ready.
To
the, we're
yes.
ready.
Go on, Julie. Go on.
Okay,
preacher.
So we'll see if Julie has any sort of updates on the season as we go along.
Julie about had me shouting over here. I was like, yeah, come on, Julie, take them to church. All right now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay, Julie.
Our friend Jamal. Took some exception with something that Jeff had said this week. Jamal said, do any other alums take it kind of personal when Jeff goes on about a new era and turning page and hyping up the danger this season? Like, we didn't experience all that? Come on, Jeff.
Mm. Yeah, that's a tale as old as time, though, right? Every time you come off a Survivor season, the very next seasons or two, you're like, oh my God, back in my day, we had to walk 15 miles through the snow in China, mm-hmm. you know, and like, we had to vote out people with two idols, you know, like all these urban legends from yesteryear. You know, I think Jamal's probably right. You know, every season, Jeff has to hype things up. You know, he has to get everybody pumped. He has to say, this is Survivor like never been seen before, because otherwise you're going to say, is this show still on? We still doing this same exact format? So I don't know what Jamal experienced that was so much worse than some of the other seasons, though. Like, I feel like if you start ranking them, I think Jamal's season was probably light on the danger in comparison.
I mean, for Jamal personally, like, he had game danger. He pulled a thing and then he got voted out of the game.
Yeah,
he pulled the string and an anvil fell on his head. So
exactly.
For Jamal personally, game danger, definitely.
Mm-hmm. But this is a new era. Like, Rob, I personally like the outfit changes throughout the season. Like, have you gotten into that? Like, you come on with, like, multiple playable outfits. Multiple
Lukes, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Listen, we talked a lot about Lydia, but when she had, like, was it floral deal with the bucket hat on? Like, yes, Lydia.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm not playing with y'all. You know, you get multiple outfits from these people. I remember back in the day, they had you out there in the wife beater.
Well, no, that's a throwback, you know? Chappelle, because we did have multiple outfits. We had multiple outfits and then they got rid of them.
Yeah, like it's so crazy because now I'd be looking forward to say, like, okay, how are you gonna pop out at tribal council now? Like, that would be part of the game for me. I would be sitting there at camp, like, are you looking for it? I don't know. I'm trying to decide which shoes I should wear. Like, really, what are we doing here? Like, I think even Wendell, like, popped out with some J's on Winners at War, and I was like, yes, Wendell, but also, are you really risking that on Survivor? Like drip or drown, but also some J's. You know, you don't want to put your shoes at risk. I do like the looks. I do. I think that would be part of the game for me. I would definitely be planning the outfits strategically.
Yeah. I rewatched the episode last night. They were really standing out to me as well. Any other ones you want to highlight? Who else's looks did you like?
Again, we talked about Omar and his, like, his Winnie the Pooh shirt. You know? And it's a good shirt. Mike's green, like, firefighter shirt. It really kind of dope, too. I think it was, like, a St. Patrick's Day thing.
Coming up this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yes, green beer. It's coming. I'm off. That's how you celebrate it, right?
Green candy corn.
Do you think they have that? Do you think they have, like, St. Patrick's Day candy corn? Because I'll order it for you if they have. Thank gosh. Well, the joy of candy corn is that it's seasonal. You know that I only have to come back to it in October, and then I can enjoy it even more. Like, that's what I said. We don't need to oversaturate the market with extra seasons of The Challenge, extra seasons of Survivor. We just need the biggest, fattest, juiciest jar of candy corn in October. Yeah.
So this was a real fake out. Where, okay, St. Patrick's Day candy corn. It's a paperback book.
Oh. Tomato, tomato, tomato. I'm throwing tomatoes. I'm throwing apples. I'm throwing apples. They're harder. Like, no, don't play with my emotions.
Maybe it doesn't get made. Sorry about that, Chappelle.
Yeah, again, seasonal.
I'm starting to tease you like October. That. Yeah.
They're just trying to, like, get you going and start to prep. You know, we got several months before October, and so you got to start to get hyped up for candy corn season.
Get hyped up. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, just going back to this conversation about the looks and the different shirts, I thought Roxroy, Loki, hey, he had a very nice blue shirt. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was the button down, right? Was it like a kind of like a Hawaiian shirt? Yeah. I'm remembering.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Looked good.
But who is it out there who got, like, she's got, like, the not the Kangol, but she's got, like, the beret on. To start, is that Mariah?
I was
like, okay, like, they really switching it up. I don't know why Lindsay went out there in the cardigan style blazer situation, but there was a few where I was like, okay, if you're gonna go to tribal council, you got to step out, you know, drip or drown.
Well, drip or drown, it's true. So true.
Drip or drown.
So yeah. Chappelle, that I tweeted out during the episode on Wednesday night that I was especially impressed with High's shirt. Did you catch that? Go back and check out the episode. It was a very nice, short sleeve, plaid shirt.
Okay. I
think it was short sleeves. I gotta confirm that. Sounds like
your impact is being felt.
Yes. I'm sorry. It's long sleeves, but he had the sleeves rolled up. Great plaid shirt. I tweeted out, I want High's shirt. And during the recording of this podcast, response to me from High, it's Club Monaco, Rob, at Club Monaco.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This episode of Rob Has a Podcast is brought to you by Club Monaco plaid shirts.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. If you were going to get a plaid shirt, but then you got High, please check out Club Monaco. I had to do it.
Yeah.
I think I'm sure I'm the first to make the joke for this season, but it's mine now.
Mm-hmm.
Draft don't count. This is canon.
The draft doesn't count. Okay. Then, you know, some people had asked us to talk about, you mentioned early on about Survivor Guy. Survivor Guy is back.
He is.
Okay.
Sorry for you.
Sorry for you. We talked about it where Jeff, if you don't know what we're talking about, Google, Jeff Probst Survivor Guy. Yes. You'll get some interesting interviews, about how Jeff was visited by Survivor Guy, who informs him, and it was like, oh, well, this is all fake, but Jeff's new catchphrase is in the show, and here it is for the first time in season 42.
All right, Ika, tribal council tonight. There's also the punishment of losing.
Yeah.
Got to give me your flint.
It's okay.
Thanks, Romeo. Sorry for you.
Sorry for you.
Jeff, you got to commit. You can't just like passively try to throw this phrase out there. Like if you got
you do
you got
it, a Chappelle. Catchphrase, you do it.
You gotta be like, sorry for you. Or like, hey, sorry for you. Sorry for you. You know, but he like, sorry for you. Like, Jeff, you sorry don't even believe you. That. Yeah, you don't even believe that. Like, or just yell at them, be like, hey, Ika Tribe, sorry for you. And they're like, oh my God. And they're like, give me that flint, you know, take it. Yeah, Jeff, I need some more enthusiasm but behind this.
Sorry for you.
He don't believe that. Like, you're just saying that, Jeff. You don't believe that. Like, nah, he gotta feel it. Like, what if he said, like, in all the fixings? Like, nobody would believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and Jeff, like, yeah, give me more energy, Jeff. Damn, this is a new era, you know?
Sorry for you.
I don't know. Survivor Guy, let me down. You're letting me down, Survivor Guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not sorry.
No, he's not. Why are you taking these people's flint? Did you see what they had to go through to get that flint?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, can we talk about that challenge, by the way?
Chappelle, so, we can talk about anything you want.
People prepare for Survivor in plenty of different ways. We know people watch seasons,
yep.
make spreadsheets,
yep.
they get in shape.
True.
They memorize puzzles.
Yes.
By now, shouldn't there be a concrete, like, example of what is the best way to tie these bamboo sticks so that you can use the jailbreak challenge? Because this challenge comes up all the time. But if you ain't practicing tying twine around like random sticks,
right.
I think that is probably the more valuable skill at this point because it happens yeah. all the time. And we see tribes made or broken by this exact thing.
Well, tell me if you think about this, because I was thinking about this challenge earlier today where Roxroy ends up being the person who wins it. So good job there by Roxroy.
Let's get crack-a-lackin'.
But
it's starting to grow on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, how big of a deal is reach? Roxroy, the tallest person, he was going up against High and going up against Mariah. That I have to think, you're standing on a thing, but you're putting the thing out. Like, I got to think that, you know, like, Roxroy has to, I mean, his arm is going to be, you know, he has probably what, you know, maybe like almost like a foot further reach than Mariah does. That's like one less thing that he has to tie. I think you got to put your tallest person out there for this.
Yeah. I think this is immersive strategy right here. Like we're getting into it. And I think that's something that you have to talk about. Like people prepare for this game in so many ways, but I've never heard anybody say this is the optimal strategy for this challenge. And so, yeah, I think you want the person with the longest arm who's going to need less stick. But also maybe somebody who's really good at tying knots or, you know, and I'm sure people practice untying knots. But yeah. like, do you practice tying knots to go on Survivor? Probably not. Or should you like, or is there an optimal strategy of like, do you need to put the sticks on top of each other? Do you need to like alternate them? Do you like, how much stick can you give, you know, before it starts to get flimsy? I just think that it's something that should be explored. We should talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not me and you, because I'm not going out there, but people should think about it. Maybe if you had like a podcast dedicated to Survivor skill set and what it would take to do well on Survivor, Rob, that people would listen to.
Yeah,
you know, maybe patron only. Yeah, probably. Okay.
Yeah, if we could explore that in the Survivor Academy for sure. We could do that.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Then if you have a Survivor Academy, Rob, people should check that out.
Yeah, well, that's coming for the patrons this weekend.
Oh.
We're joined by our friend Phil Thompson.
Okay. Oh, I like Phil Thompson. He's very smart. If you are not a patron,
yeah,
he probably Phil Thompson's very smart. I would say that. So maybe he doesn't like Harry Potter. But Yeah, I think if you're not a patron, I would become a patron to kind of explore those things, especially if I think I'm going to go on Survivor one day and want to hear some of the insight, you know, some of the really like specific questions answered.
Yeah.
Because this ain't the place. The feedback show, you're not going to get that. We're talking about big, fat, juicy asses here.
Yeah.
You know,
this is our Cobra Kai dojo of Survivor.
Yeah. Look, if I'm going on the show, I think it wouldn't hurt to check it out. You mm-hmm. know, people have been checking out David Bloomberg's rules for years. And so I think you add this to your repertoire.
Yeah. Okay. Now, maybe Corey B might figure out an algorithm to figure out how many bamboo sticks do you need? I mentioned that to Stephen Fishback on the Survivor Know-It-Alls the other night about how Corey B already solved this triangle puzzle. I mentioned it to Stephen Fishback that, of course, the great Corey B at CavX on Twitter flagged Stephen's reaction and tweeted it out yesterday.
So they made like that made that very fun. I mean, like it was like fun watching yeah. them figure it out. The great B where he's like, I've got it. It's 11. He's like, I'm on 36.
11. Yeah. Yeah. 11, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Corey B already figured it out. If we're not using it now, we're never going to use it.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was that it was solved on Twitter in season 41. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That this is the last chance to use it. All right.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, who's Muffin? Who is Muffin? Look, Corby is my president. Okay. Yes. He got my vote. Like everybody should know this by now. Corby is rarely wrong. So Corby said it. I agree. And Stephen Fishback, you need to do your research. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. how dare you call yourself a Survivor Know-It-All and you don't know who Corey B is. Mm-hmm. Follow CavX on Twitter. And mm-hmm. follow him on Twitch, too.
Yeah.
Follow Corey B in life.
Sure. Anywhere. Stephen was very busy following all of the Survivor NFTs on Twitter this week. So that he does have an excuse.
He sounded like he was into it. I don't know. Check out his tweets to find out, you know, how enthusiastic Stephen Fishback is about the NFTs.
Yeah. This is from Talls on Twitter who wants to know, Lydia told us she's a young person as a Gen Z. But Talls asks, is at Lydia Meredith really a Gen Z if she doesn't use Yeet or Poggers in a confessional?
I don't know. I am famously old, so I don't think I've ever used the word Yeet earnestly. And mm-hmm. I've never said that other word that you're about mm-hmm. that you just said. Like I've never left and said it. So I'm not going to start today. Mm-hmm. Like
okay,
I can be comfortable with crack-a-lacking, you know, but you know, yeet and that other thing. They're not for me. Maybe Lydia has said those words, you know.
Maybe,
but you know, yeah, she just hasn't said it on the show yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's coming.
Okay. This was a tweet sent our way, flagged by J Mackey. Pete Yerkowski of Survivor Philippines tweeted,
"Oh,
I committed to a Survivor viewing party, hoping no one recognizes me so I can approach ex castaways and see how many can give me advice on getting on the show before I finish my second beer." Mm. Jay wants to know what ex castaways are most likely to fall for this.
Ooh, who doesn't know Pete Yerkowski? Let's think. Let's think.
If we're being real,
go for it.
I mean,
I'll say it.
I think. How many we're gonna recognize him?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if anybody could pull this off, it's probably Pete. You know, like he's the master of disguise.
I think Pete, you got this. Yeah.
Yeah, Pete's hilarious because that's funny. That's so funny just to be like, yeah, like, you know, I'm thinking about trying out for Survivor. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, he just looks like, you know, like, okay, this guy looks fairly like suitable for the game. Okay, fine. Let's give him some advice. No, I think Pete can pull this off. And I think any of the women that were on, Was it not HHH? There was like that one season where there's like three or four women that are all the same. Oh, Thailand. I'm like, any of those women could have played again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pre-marriage women, they could have played again and nobody would have known.
We used to talk about Undercover Butch as an idea of like, let somebody go play in a season. Well, now I think it would be like against like sort of like the ethos of the show of like the people that play Survivor eat, breathe, and live Survivor. Like they would never want to like embarrass the players and like put like a past castaway on. But there was a point in time when they easily could have put somebody back on from an older season and then nobody said anything and see like the audience would know, but would the players ever know?
You could have put Butch on Redemption Island and even Boston Rob wouldn't have known.
No.
And yeah, and they played within a year of each other and he would not have known.
Definitely
so
not.
Yeah, you're right. There was a sweet spot because now people are going to start recognizing people from Survivor community. You know, like there's a moment where Chanel and Daniel are kind of pushed together as a duo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's a non-zero chance that Daniel actually knows Chanel. You know, there's also the moment where Zach is incentivized to work with Tori. There's a non-zero chance that Zach could have come across Tori. Now, we know that Zach did not watch The Quest of season two.
But when Swathi is introduced to Tori, Swathi says that your name is Tori, right? Like but
she's like, how'd you know?
Yes, she's like, how did you know? So maybe it was already said like on the Matt chat, but I don't know. Like maybe Swathi has seen her on the sequester.
No, they had already introduced themselves. Like that that's the unless this was taken.
Well, why did Tori say how did you know?
Listen, that was Tori trying to bond.
Yes,
she's like, oh
okay.
Look. I'm making personal connections with everybody on the tribe. Like, you just said your name. Like, the way it was presented to us was that they went around a circle, introduced themselves. Then Tori went back up to Swathi and said, wait, how do you pronounce your name? And Swathi said, it's Swathi. She's like, oh, and you're Tori. Oh, my God. Maybe it was facetious. You know, Tori did use sarcasm at different points throughout the episode. I don't really think that plays well on television if it's not funny. You know, like, I think it's kind of off-putting on TV. You know, I think in the moment, maybe it's not. But, you know, at the tribal council when they're asking Tori about, they're like, oh no, I must be so fatigued and tired that I forgot that entire conversation. And Jeff's like, seriously? She's like, no, it's fine. Like, he had to check because if you say you're that fatigued and your memory is being affected, what, 2 days and 3 days into the show? Like, I think they have to talk to you and you have to probably have like a health evaluation at that point.
Okay. Chappelle, anything else from the season 42 premiere?
The premiere was great. I enjoyed it. I think, we got a lot of feedback on Twitter, which I love, but people are asking. I think it was Lil Rob. You know, I like Lil Rob. Lil Rob said that, like, if at any point will people start to, like, be weary of Marianne and her emotions because she's, like, super emotional, whether it's, like, happy or sad. Like, we saw her cry in the episode, but we also seen her, like, very, very happy. And he said, if she's blindsided, they'll need a mop and a bucket for all those tears. And I was just like, yeah. And that's why I would never blindside her because I refuse. I'd take a bullet before. I'd give my pinky to not have to be in that situation. But yeah, there was a lot. And I think that the game with them throwing so much at us, like we can start to whittle this down into what actually works and doesn't work, you know? So maybe in the future, they don't spoil the show by showing people read advantages and stuff
Did
like that.
Did that bother you? Are you that? Yeah.
Right. Stop it. You know I had no clue. I was like, what is potato skins? What are y'all talking about? Like, I watched the same show y'all watched. I don't know what damn potato skins. I don't pay attention to nothing that's happening before the people actually come out onto the mat.
Yeah, how are potato skins as an app? Would you ever, if you had gone to Applebee's, Chappelle, would you ever order those?
I mean, Applebee's does have half-decent appetizers. Like, it's one of the things that are higher up on their, like, on their ranking. Like, it's, like, appetizers and then... That's it. Yeah, this is probably all you can eat.
I love Applebee's.
Karishma, you are a liar. Also, why wasn't I invited to the baby shower? I'm just saying. I'm down the street. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Chappelle, what'd you think of the immunity idol?
Oh, we had an immunity idol in this...
You didn't see the snake that was like...
Oh, yeah. The tribal immunity.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a snake that was eating itself, right?
Snake or like something itself. That
was
kind of...
It was swallowing itself.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Chappelle, if you were a snake, would
I eat myself?
Yeah. Would you swallow your own tail?
Would I swallow my own tail if I was a snake? I don't know. I've been told that tastes good. I don't think I would do it. Yeah. I wouldn't do it. Nah, I don't need to know. I just take their word for it.
Yeah.
You know? What about you, Rob? You going to eat yourself?
I mean, I think you would try it, I think.
Would you? Ew. Like, I wouldn't try it. I let other people try it and then tell me about it, but I don't want to know. Yeah.
Okay.
Personally, I could find... No, absolutely not. No, stop it.
All right. Chappelle.
What do you have the big, fattest, juiciest tail?
The BFJT.
It's kind of like you got to try it at that point.
At that point.
Don't you got to try it?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Who's getting voted off next week?
I don't think there's a world where Ika does not go back to Tribal Council. Yeah. So I think we're looking at either Tory or Rox Roy.
I agree. I think that those are the two people that are in danger.
Yeah. Tori's got some work to do. She does. She's in a bad spot from my point of view. And then again, we don't see everything, but she was one vote away from going home. Like, had that shot in the dice, the dark die or whatever, landed correctly.
Now,
I think shenanigans on the shot in the dark die.
Yeah. Like, do you think, Okay. So let's explore that. Okay. Shenanigans on the shot in the dark die in what way?
If I could roll the dice.
Yeah.
Then I would feel more comfortable knowing that it was actually, you know, it was God's plan.
God's plan. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Julie Chen. Take us to church.
Yes.
But, yes. But because I have to put it in this little cup and I don't see the transference of the cup to the thing and I don't know what else is in there.
Why not that? Okay. I played my shot in the dark. Now I take a ticket. Okay. I take a ticket. And Jeff has like the big craps table in front of him. And you have like a giant shot in the dark die like Frenchie had, okay?
Yeah.
And then you take it and you throw it on the craps table.
Like the Price is Right?
Like the Price is Right with Dice Game, yeah.
Yeah, Marianne is like screaming, like, yeah! Like, yeah.
Marianne, I mean, yeah, speaking of Lil Rock, that if you could ever get Marianne, if they do another Survivor Live Price is Right,
yes.
Oh my God. Marianne, yes. Come on down.
Like, yes, Marianne. Like, we're crying at home. Like, she did it. She did it. Like, oh, yeah. Like, even like the, like, she, oh my God. Like, she just falls to the ground. Like, you're like, all right, no, Marianne. Take my money.
Yeah, wait, well, you're gonna get the chance to play Plinko. Oh my gosh.
She's like, yes, Marianne, yes. I'm fist pumping at home.
I
want to let me roll the dice. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to just be like, you're not safe. Like, how you know?
Mm-hmm.
How you know for sure? You know, don't get me wrong. Like, Survivor is supposed to be like on the level. We're all supposed to have a fair shot at this. But Jamal literally got a pencil.
Yeah.
Ain't an aspect.
Never seen one before on Survivor.
Right. Yes, you have. Yes, you have, Rob. Mm-hmm. Boston Rob. New England Rob. So it's like, I feel like Survivor can pick and choose when they want this thing to happen. And I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. Now, am I accusing Survivor of doing this thing? No. But I know sometimes you open an advantage and this is not an advantage. Mm-hmm. What happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I want to be safe, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, they let Michelle flip the 50-50 coin. I don't know why we can't roll a dice at Tribal Council.
Right, and that flip was kind of shady anyway. Like, yeah, I like Michelle a lot, but let's be very clear.
I mean,
was that a flip?
I mean, with the craps table, I mean, if you go and play craps like in Vegas or Atlantic City, like if you don't have a good enough roll, the deal, like, you got to do it again. Right. You got to hit the back wall.
People start questioning, like, weighted dice, and, you know, like how far deep into this do you want to get? Mm-hmm. You know, like are we magnetizing the roulette table? Like, how are we counting cards here, Rob? Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. So maybe there's no way to always know that this is on the level. But I remember back in the day, back in the old Survivor days, Ralph Kaiser like slipped and tripped over an idol, like it was just in front of him. And you wonder if that was for a certain Russell Hantz to find. So there have been shenanigans in the past. It just, you know, for me, I would like a little bit more agency in the dice roll, just for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to make sure we don't miss anything. We got it all.
I think this was a
BFJ podcast.
It was a big old fat juicy one. We've been talking for a while, but I do appreciate like the listeners' questions. Of course, like I don't know who this Felipe person is, but they're very funny. I think that just as a premiere, this was very strong. Again, I know you and Gabby probably explored the Jackson stuff.
Do you want to comment anything on that?
It's like, it's one of those things where like, I'm sure like I would like to, I was just being very harsh on Survivor saying there could be some shenanigans, but I'd like to say that I think that Survivor has been trying harder to take care of their players. Now they might not care about Daniel walking around with no arm, but I do think that they wanted to give Jackson an opportunity if they could. People have been questioning if it was like Survivor was exploiting their story as a trans person. And I honestly, even if Survivor was, I'd say that story was so powerful that I think we benefit from it. Now it does. It could have come from at the cost of somebody else getting to play the game, which we don't love. But I do think like they, Jeff said this happened like a day or two right before they started filming.
You know, corroborates everything that the show is saying. So like it's like an unfortunate situation for everybody involved. But, you know, I don't know if there's anywhere where like anybody is feeling like, I know some people do feel like, okay, well, you know, Survivor has a, you know, not such a great track record in the past, like points that very fair. But in this instance, I mean, Jackson was taking something that is too dangerous to play Survivor on. He didn't tell the producers. They didn't have an alternate. The alternate had gone home, according to Jackson's interviews. And, you know, had Jackson disclosed, and Jackson was afraid to disclose this because I didn't want to get, you know, kicked out of the running. This was my dream to do this. And then, like, had Jackson disclosed early enough, they would have said, okay, well, like, get right, and we'll see you for season 43. And we'll get the alternate in here. But they just, like, ran out of time.
Yeah. And it, like I said, it's heartbreaking because Jackson's story was so good. Like, it was such a good, like, I was watching it.
It was
like,
beautiful.
Oh, wow.
It was an amazing story.
Yeah, I like that guy. I was like, Jackson, you're dope. But also, like, people were upset. People were just like, you took someone else's spot. You knew you were on lithium. Like, listen.
Who said that? Who said that?
Some people. People are saying it, Rob. I don't want to call any names. Yeah, but people are saying
people
it.
We know?
Here's the thing. I don't know them, you know.
Okay.
Like egg
people?
Yeah, like egg people are upset. But I do think, like I said, these people are willing to go to great lengths to make sure that they have a chance to play the game. It's the thing that they dreamed about. We know that Jackson has wanted to play this game for a very long time. And so I don't fault Jackson. I do. This is definitely Jackson's fault. But like, I definitely don't like blame Jackson for doing it. Like, based on the information that we know about players who want to play Survivor, they're willing to put their health at risk, you know, to play the game. And so,
people are going
to
cut off fingers, play with dislocated shoulders.
Right. Like, at this point, you know, people want to be on the show. And I think if nothing else, it's a positive thing to know that people feel that passionately about Survivor. But I don't think it was nefarious. I definitely just think, like, you know, it probably could have been handled differently on all parts. But based on the timeline that they had and the information that they had, they did what the best they could. And so I will extend a lot of grace to Survivor. And I've been hard on Survivor in the past. So, you know, I think that they did okay with this one.
I don't know what the show could have done differently in terms of you know, I guess they could, you know, just like have pulled Jackson before the game even started. But I think they sort of like were in a tough spot because they have only 18 people there unless they were going to hey, all right, here's here's your tribe cast. Here's Nasir. Okay, Nasir, nobody will know you. Okay, you don't tell them that you played in season 41.
Yes, that's what they should start doing. Secret Nasir or random player who they haven't met because of
but they probably joking around, but like the season 41, like there was layover, but they were gone. You know, they're on the plane too. Yeah.
Could you imagine if they just told like Erica, you just won Survivor. Now, do you want to do double or nothing? Well, would you go out?
You know,
and
you would
play
need
it again.
You would need somebody who like didn't go that far. Like it's like, all right, JD, here you're going. You're going back in. Brad, look, get ready.
Yes, Brad, you're going back in.
Voce,
oh, wow.
Voce.
Yes. What if Voce comes back in and wins the second time, and then Puya has to eat the nuggets? Like, give me all of that. Like, yes, Voce. And I'm screaming like Mary Ann, like, yeah! like Voce!
That'd be amazing.
Like, come on down.
And Mary Ann's mom is like,
why are you interested in this show?
Why are you interested in this show, Mary Ann? Oh my gosh. Mary Ann's mom, she sounds dope. Like, I just know that mom was like, what are you talking about? Why do you want to do this?
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's everybody's mom that wants to be on Survivor.
You would think. No, not Zach Wurtenberger's mom. She's in the patron group.
She's patron.
She's like, listen, go be on Survivor. You know, like, go do it. Mm-hmm. Man, oh my God. Everybody seems so nice. They just seem like nice people. But
it's a great cast.
Definitely don't let friends go on Big Brother. Friends can allow friends to go on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
That should be the rule.
That's fair.
Go on Survivor. Do not go on Big Brother.
If you can help.
Keep Big Brother on the air. Yeah. Send your enemies to Big Brother.
Yeah. Chappelle, I dodged a bullet.
I tried to go on Big Brother, and then Lynn Spillman pulled me from the fire.
Right. Like, they did. Saved my life. They did you a solid. Had you gone on Big Brother, none of this would be possible right now. None of this. This, you look around you, all this stuff, everything the light touches, that would not be your life. But that dark, shadowy place, the elephant graveyard, that would be your life if you went on Big Brother.
Oh my God. Oh my God. All right. I have to write.
It'd be a casualty to Jason Guy and Daniel Reyes.
But like first boot, probably.
Or they'd be calling you the devil. You'd be Roddy.
Yes. And we know the devil, a loser and a liar.
A loser and a liar. Yes. Julie. Yes. Shut up.
All right. Yes. Chappelle, we have a busy weekend because we're recording this on Saturday morning. We'll be together on Sunday to record this week's Nothing But Netflix, talking about a brand new movie coming to Netflix, The Adam Project, starring Ryan Reynolds, our second Ryan Reynolds movie we're covering here on Nothing But Netflix.
This is a Ryan Reynolds stand account now. We've done, the Red Notice.
Red Notice, yep.
And now we're doing The Adam Project. Ryan Reynolds, Jennifer Garner, and Mark Ruffalo all on the same show. And so, it should be a good time.
Okay. Be on the lookout for that. What else do you have coming up?
Rob, this was a busy week for me. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I had a lot going on. DFJ so I was week. Recently, yep. Big, fat, juicy week, you know? One of the juiciest, I'd say. This was a big one. So, this last week, I recorded a podcast for Shit 90 Show Taught Me podcast with Jess
Where
Sterling
Corey
and Corey
cheated on Topanga.
Yes, but I do think we should hear both sides. You know, like, yes, Corey cheated, but...
Oh, my God.
Were there other factors at play? It was also Linda Cardellini, Rob. I'm just saying. Linda Cardellini. You know, Topanga's Topanga, but Linda Cardellini, you know, just... I just think we should have the conversation. So check that out. Shit 90s Shows Taught Me podcast to find out what I really think about that episode of Boy Meets World. It was a good time. Also, on post-show recaps, I've been talking about The Walking Dead, and we found out that there's much more Walking Dead to come. And so check that out from now into the foreseeable future. Josh Wigler, myself, Jessica Lease, AJ Mass, we're doing the Walking Dead thing over there on post-show recaps. I'm still on post-show recaps talking about Bel-Air as well.
Yes.
Yes. The great Pooya, the famous Pooya. One of my podcast idols is my co-host for that. So it's like I get to podcast with you, Rob, and I get to podcast with Pooya. Like if I can get Kirsten, like, oh my gosh, like I've hit the big three. Like if I can get Scally, like, bro, I'm retired. You know, like
don't do
all
that.
The big moments. Like, no, yeah. No, that you just have to aim high. You know, like aim high. And for the stars, you land on the cloud, whatever they say, right?
Yeah.
But yes, Pooya and I are still talking about Bel-Air. We're several episodes in the first season, I'm sorry. And having a good time. So check out that on Peacock and check out the podcast as well. Also on post-show recaps, LaTanya Starks, Mari Forth, and myself are talking about Atlanta.
Yes.
Yes. And so season 3 of Atlanta is releasing in a couple weeks. We've done one preview pod. We got another preview pod coming. And then we're going to jump into the final, the penultimate season of Atlanta, because I think it's coming back for a fourth season. So we're going to talk about that on post show recap, so check that out. Of course, Rob, got to hang out with you on the draft, you know, so that was a fun time. I was over at Silent Podcast talking about Abbott Elementary, kind of did like a mid-season catch up.
I keep saying that's a show I'm going to start.
It's an easy watch. It's fun. It's smart. I love it. And so Silent Podcast, they got into a lot of like the things you should know, fun things about the show, what our favorite characters are. So check that out as well. It's been a busy one. But I'm excited to do Nothing But Netflix with you. And don't we have a special guest for that as well?
Taron Armstrong to talk about some sci-fi. Hopefully he'll be able to make sense of the movie for us.
Yeah, Mr. Robot Taron is coming, and I'm very excited to talk to him as well. So it's been a good time, but yeah, people can check out all of those mini podcasts and follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. I created one just now. So I could follow Lydia's tweets. And so check that out. And that'll keep you posted on all the things I have going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chappelle, great job here on the feedback show. You came in and just says, a BFJ episode.
I got it crack-a-lackin'.
You got the feedback show crack-a-lackin' here for the new season. So it's a great job.
Move.
Crack-a-lackin'.
Yeah.
crack-a-lackin'. It's the way he said it. Like, yes, rocks were crack-a-lackin'. See, I have been converted, you know? Yeah, it's like I started off, I was anti-crack-a-lackin', but now I'm all in. Yep. All in on crack-a-lackin'.
Chappelle, I didn't get to play for you that I want to play for you the Survivor theme song.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think they've ever heard the Survivor theme song.
I don't think they've known. They don't know the song.
Because they don't play it anymore. They skip it. And now, Jeff, look what you've done. These young people, these young heads, they don't even know the Survivor theme song. That's what happens when you took it out of the show for 15 years.
Honestly, if it's going to keep people from singing it, then put it back in. Because I don't want it. I don't want that. Like, if I'm on Survivor, God forbid, and you start singing the Survivor theme song, you are my target. I might not come for you like immediately, but there's no way I'm taking you to the final two. I just hate you for making me like listen to that. Like, I don't want to hear you sing the Survivor theme song.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah,
like, I like the Survivor theme song. I just don't want to hear you sing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
I don't know. No, it just, it don't feel right. Yeah. You know, like, let the ancient voices do it. I don't want not ancient voices do it. You know?
All right. And I've got one more Survivor podcast to go here for this week. That is the aforementioned Survivor Academy, where Phil Thompson will join me this week to take a look at everything we've learned about the game of Survivor for the future Survivor players. For future Survivor players who are getting ready, that you are going to go out there one day, be one of the people, despite your friends telling you you'll never make it. And your parents telling you not to do it. You are not listening to anybody. You want to go out there. We're getting you ready. This is just for the patrons. robuswebsite.com/patron, of course. Make sure you subscribe to all of the podcasts to make sure you get everything that our other podcasters are doing for Survivor this week at robuswebsite.com/survivorfeed. Chappelle, thank you again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.